all my guests today. Right now, though, I'm joined in the studio by my brief guest. You're a brief guest in my studio.
Yeah.
In a moment, I'll be a guest in yours, Jake Yap, who's standing in for John Holmes for the last day of the week.
Yes, I am. And, well, as you know, Celebrity Wednesday, yep. Something that we've always done here. Last week, I can't remember. I think it was Hillary Clinton came in doing cooking in the studio, didn't she?
Can't get rid of her, though.
I know. So needy. But this week, I'm excited. We've got Ed Skrein, who was in the latest Marvel film, Deadpool. It's a very funny, sort of deconstructed Marvel movie. And he played the baddie. So I'm going to make him come and menacingly eat broccoli in front of me. He's going
to
be in the
Is
studio.
Is that what people do now to show how sort of strong and fearless they are? the menacing eating of broccoli.
He was like a bad Popeye. No, he eats broccoli in the film, but that's the least of his crime. So he's coming in. We're very excited about that. We're going to be talking about Noel Edmonds because, wow.
Yes. Do you know what? I was going to talk about this. He was actually on, I caught a glimpse of a TV screen at one point when I was on air, and he was on this morning on ITV talking to Phil and Holly, and I'm sure they got to the bottom of it. But
yeah.
he's going in the direction, is our Noel Edmonds. We're in sort of ever so slightly loony directions we're in sort of lizard territory, aren't we? A bit, David Icke territory. But this, he's claimed that he's got this box that
an EMP box.
Yes.
Yeah, electromagnetic pulse box, which he claims can cure cancer.
Yes. Well, and since you're actually legally not allowed to claim that if it can't, there are actually quite strict rules about this for very good reasons.
I should be very careful and say he didn't necessarily claim it cures cancer, but he certainly believes that it was a good thing for cancer sufferers. So we're going to be talking about that. We might put him on trial in our kangaroo court. We're going to be talking about Big Brother. It's all right, we won't dwell on it. Did you watch it last night? No,
of course I did not watch it because I'm a weirdo freak and I was watching the political debate. But
that's not it. No. That would have been a much better use of your time.
I can't believe that Big Brother's still going. You know, I was once asked to be on Celebrity Big Brother, which is ironic.
You should totally do that.
If I get to a point in my life where that is something that appeals, then just kill me now. I mean, really.
Don't you think it would have been a more fun way to sort out Brexit? You could have had Cameron and Gove. Yeah, all of them. Just put them in there.
I'm loving
on Channel 5.
Well, the reason I said no to the producers was I said, you know, but I don't want to be done for murder. And there's no way in the world I could be in that house with those people and not kill someone.
It's a particularly fruity bunch they've got this year.
Is it anyone I've heard of?
No. This is not Celebrity Big Brother.
Of course, yes.
This is,
worse.
Because this isn't, I wouldn't call these normal people. These are definitely not normal people. It's a very specific demographic of very disturbed, unhappy.
Well, that's probably why it's quite empty in the office at the moment, because most of the talk radio staff are probably there. Anyway, but that's all that's coming up on the show with Jake. Thank you very much indeed. I'll be back with you at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. This is Talk Radio. Do stay tuned.
Talk Radio. Dial up some dialogue.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Sounds fantastic. Another round. So what's this sound? That's a gang of larcenous gibbons making off with someone's treasured marimba. But what's this sound?
Go compare.
That's the sound telling millions of canny householders where to look to save on their insurance.
For the right on macabre, you'll soon discover nothing quite compares to Go Compare.
Sounds fantastic.
Prostate Cancer UK has one ambition. To stop men dying from prostate cancer. To help stop prostate cancer from being a killer, search Men United now.
It's a beautiful thing when little things come together. Life is in the details. The new Volvo V40R design with adaptive digital display, Thor hammer headlights and 17-inch diamond cut alloys. Now all this and more from just £259 a month, including maintenance, with Volvo car leasing with an initial rental of £259.
4-year contract hire agreement offer ends June 30th, subject to status. Mileage and return conditions apply. Optional maintenance covers routine servicing, tyres, replacement parts and repairs due to fair wear and tear. Visit volvocars.co.uk for more details.
Book a test drive today at your nearest Volvo showroom.
Stripeboard, one stop, get the lot, Stripeboard. everyone's a winner this week at TradePoint. We've got thousands of prizes to give away to help you enjoy the football in style. From smart TVs, official shirts and Carlsberg vouchers to the ultimate football party bundle. Make a purchase at your local TradePoint counter before Sunday 19th of June for your chance to win. Trade only. TradePoint!
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Talk Radio.
Very good afternoon to you. It's Jay Gapp sitting in for John Holmes. He is back tomorrow. John Holmes fans, I know, great news. First of all, though, let's catch up with the latest news headlines with Victoria Bourne.
Thanks, Jake. Coming up, people are told to keep trying to register for the EU vote. An IS-inspired man's been found guilty of attempting to behead a stranger. And Brucey is doing much better after surgery.
Talk Radio.
The Prime Minister says he's urgently considering changing legislation so people who failed to register for the EU referendum last night can still vote. It's feared thousands of people weren't able to sign up when the government's website crashed last night just before the deadline. David Cameron says people should keep trying.
It's extremely welcome that so many people want to take part in this massive democratic exercise, in this vital decision for our country. Last night there was record demand on the gov.uk website from people concerned they might not be registered to vote in the referendum, and this caused an overload of the system. I'm very clear that people should continue to register today.
A man who tried to copy the killers of Fusilier Lee Rigby has been found guilty of attempting to murder a stranger at a London underground station. The court heard 30-year-old Mahadim Mar had a history of mental illness and wanted to behead a random person in Leytonstone in East London last December. Police Commander Dean Hayden says more needs to be done to stop at-risk people getting caught up in terrorist ideologies.
Through their propaganda, they do prey on the vulnerable within our community. And as a result, we need to understand that better. We need to work with our partners, ultimately with a view to safeguarding and stopping people getting into terrorist acts.
MPs have been hearing claims former BHS owner Dominic Chappelle threatened to kill an executive.
He basically said, "Do not kick off about this, Darren. I've had enough of you telling me what to do over the last few months. It's my business. I can do what I want. And if you kick off about it, I'm going to come down there and kill you."
That's Darren Topp, who was CEO at the collapsed retailer. The businessman who bought BHS for just £1 last year has been giving evidence to the committee himself. Mr. Chappelle has told MPs he could have saved the firm had previous owner Sir Philip Green helped him. A zoo where one of its keepers was mauled to death by a tiger has admitted breaching health and safety regulations. 24-year-old Sarah McClay died after she was pounced upon in a corridor for staff at South Lakes Wild Animal Park in Dalton-in-Furness in Cumbria 3 years ago. The French government has launched an app to alert fans going to Euro 2016 of security threats. It flashes warnings if there's an attack close by. Olympic long jump champion Greg Rutherford has had his sperm frozen because of the threat of Zika at this summer's games in Rio. The virus is linked to birth defects. And Sir Bruce Forsyth's wife says he's doing much better after having heart surgery. The 88-year-old former Strictly host couldn't attend an event at the weekend, prompting fresh concerns about his health. Lady Wilnelia Forsyth-Johnson says she's positive he can make a 100% recovery.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Lots of sunny spells, but some heavy showers are likely to develop this afternoon, mainly in the northwest of England and Wales and southeast England. Highs of 25 degrees.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. England defender Chris Smalling should be fit to train today, despite ending yesterday's session with strapping on his knee. Meanwhile, Northern Ireland will continue to monitor Kyle Lafferty after he limped out of training yesterday. He trained on his own this morning, but manager Michael O'Neill believes Lafferty will be fit for their opening Euro 2016 game against Poland on Sunday. Republic of Ireland defender John O'Shea says they won't have a special focus on Zlatan Ibrahimovic in their first game against Sweden next week. Martin O'Neill side head to France for the tournament today. They'll line up against the rumoured Manchester United target on Monday in Paris. O'Shea says Sweden have other threats too.
It's not just the one player we have to watch out for. They have I know one or two of their other players from the Premier League as well. So if you're taking too much of your attention to one player, the other lad's going to get the benefit of that.
Finally, on to cricket. England captain Alistair Cook says an unchanged side will be named for the third and final test with Sri Lanka. England have already won the three-match series going into tomorrow's finale at Lords. That's your latest sports news powered by Talk Sport.
Talk Radio.
Hi there, I'm James Martin. I don't usually do Wednesdays, but this summer I'm working with Asda to answer your everyday meal questions. How can I help you, Kelly?
Hi, James. I've got some school mums coming over for lunch tomorrow, so I need something quick but impressive. Any thoughts?
Crunchy cauliflower couscous is perfect. Whiz up a cauliflower in a food processor and add pomegranate, apricots, spring onion, fresh herbs and some flaked almonds and pistachios from Asda's Good and Balanced range.
Yeah.
For the dressing, maple syrup, white wine vinegar and a bit of curry powder. And you've got a fabulous summer dish.
That sounds incredible.
It is. And if you want to try it at home, visit asda.com/James Martin for all the details.
Selected stores subject to availability.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon then, Treacle. It's Jake Yap sitting in for John Holmes while he gets tested to the very brink of death in order to bring out his mutant genes and turn him into a superhero for his return tomorrow. Why am I saying this? Well, because we have an actual film star, bruv. As in a Hollywood film, bruv. Yes. He's from Camden in London, actually. And his name... That's why I did the voice. Just in case you didn't know. His name's Ed Skrein, and he's cool, and he's dissy, and he's smart, and I hate him for that. But we'll be talking to him about playing the baddie in Deadpool. I mean, who even cares what else is in the show? Who cares about how loopy Noel Edmonds is going? One clue, properly loopy. Who cares about the comedian who had the best joke of the Edinburgh Fringe coming in? Okay, I do, because he's actually ever so nice and funny. And who cares about an exclusive first listen to an unreleased David Bowie track from his vault of previous material? Kind of. Well, I'm asking you to care. Just care, okay? Just care between now and 4 o'clock, okay? And we'll take it from there. This being a John Holmes show, it wouldn't be a John Holmes show if we didn't have some guitar-based music beds. So just for you John Holmes fans, the guy is back tomorrow. Enjoy a guitar-based music bed, will you?
But what's the thing you miss the most when John Holmes is not here? Be honest, it's his rock bass guitar bits. He likes to play them in and talk over them, dissecting the day's news in amusing satirical ways. But John Holmes, we'll be back tomorrow. John Holmes! To hear your guitar bit, why do you play them, John? Is it just because you're a failed rock and roller? Why can't you be happy just being a DJ with all your fancy jackets and shoes and stuff? Peace!
Yes. Indeed. John Holmes, back tomorrow. In the meantime, though, well, it's Celebrity Wednesday. Last week, of course, we had Michelle Obama. She did breakdancing in the studio. Anyway, it's time now to talk, though, to Ed Skrein. He's a musician and an actor and stuff. No one, I am telling you right now, no one eats broccoli quite as frighteningly as this man. It was amazing. Apart possibly from my two-year-old when he's like really into it. His Twitter profile says, I do stuff. Oh yeah, like the rest of us do. Yeah, no biggie. Like being the baddie in the excellently postmodern and witty Marvel movie Deadpool. Being in Game of Thrones. Being the new star of the Transporter movie franchise. And I dare say going to the gym about twice an hour. Ed Skrein, welcome to Talk Radio.
Thank you, sir.
Now, is there any particular colour you'd like the studio to be lit? Because we were just talking earlier. You were saying it's nice in here. It is
nice in here. I mean, blue is my favourite colour.
Can we do blue?
Yeah,
Cornelius, see if we can do blue.
I know that yellow is a colour of calm as well, but I think, you know, let's just keep it...
There you go. Oh. Look, there's a greeny blue.
I like that. This is great for the radio, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely ruined the white balance now for the stuff, because I think they're going to put you on the internet. Welcome along. And what an amazing... sort of ascent you've had. Was it fun doing Deadpool and being a baddie? It's got to be the first question.
It was so much fun.
Oh God, you've done your baddie voice. Don't do your baddie. Don't look at me like that.
No, it was. It was so much fun. I mean, you know, my life is so normal and so peaceful and so nice and civilized most of the time that it's so nice to be able to, you know, explore these dark sides of, you know, the human psychology and to really go and to torture and fight and to do all of these things, you know, to be able to do it in a safe environment, in a fun environment is great, yeah, with none of the negative things that come with it. It was great, man.
I do like it when the Deadpool who you're torturing says, we should have a safe word, right? That's a lovely line. It's nice to see, like, watching the film, it's nice to see a film that kind of, that doesn't take itself, like, too seriously, right? Because I was thinking about this whole kind of superhero thing, and it sort of, in a way, it kind of, I mean, there were the Spider-Man films and all of that, but there was this, the show Lost, right, when it came on TV, and that sort of spun off all of these kind of, like, hyper-real series, right? So Lost was kind of pioneering in that thing, and but then there was Heroes. Did you see that? Do you remember that?
I actually didn't see Heroes. I was a huge fan of Lost.
Well, I can explain, right? So Heroes, the premise of Heroes was basically you'd have, like, these two teens, and it would be a bit like sort of Dawson's Creek, or like it's just teenagers just hanging out, just chatting and stuff. It'd be like a boy and a girl, and you think, oh, are they going to get... And then the girl would say, I can't be with you. And the guy says, why? And she says, because I'm different. Because she's got, like, this sort of superhero skill. But every they all said the same thing, like, oh, I'm different. And then there'd be this kind of... And they'd look at each other in this sort of deep way. And it was all just a bit earnest.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And what I loved about Deadpool is that, like, you really kind of deconstruct a kind of standard superhero movie. It still works as a superhero movie, but you've kind of thrown in so much wit.
I think it's representative of the subversive storylines and nature of actual comic books. I mean, we have this incredible arsenal of interesting characters, interesting storylines that are so varied that, you know that are so different in their way. Like, you know, Punisher, how dark Punisher can be compared to how light, you know, like the Spider-Man comics are. And this only in the Marvel universe. And so, you know, these stories are all here, and they just need to be represented properly. You know, I think we should respect the writers of these comic books and respect what's there already, and to try to do them properly. And, you know, with Deadpool, it would have been a tragedy if it wasn't R-rated, if it wasn't that, you know, messed up and violent and you know, and also if it wasn't self-referential and self-deprecating, you know, because that is Deadpool. Anyone who reads his comics knows that. So, you know, I think that's great that it's accurate, and I applaud Fox for their bravery in doing so, not just going for some hammy save the world stuff.
It must be hard when you're walking into something that has already existed in one form and has an amazingly loyal following. Do you feel that kind of burden of, oh, God, I have to get this right, because otherwise they're going to... You don't feel that. That's good. Like,
No. But I approach it the same way I've approached anything, whether it be underground arts or mainstream, in the sense that, okay, this has been done already. We're going to do it differently. This is how we're going to do it. We can only do it our way. We can only do it the way we deem to be the right way. And so now we went into it with strong morals and with the strong feeling of where we wanted to go. And Tim Miller, our visionary director, you know, gave us those kind of parameters to work inside of. And inside of that, we just bounced off it. And we were like, nah, let's go. I mean, we were pretty, you know, Tim created a pretty fearless atmosphere. Mm. And we kind of, it felt intimate. It felt small. It didn't actually feel like it was going to be anything that big, because Fox, you know, they were making X-Men Apocalypse at the time, and we just kind of, they kind of left us just to get on with our little weird project.
Isn't it lovely when that happens? It's nice, that, right?
It was a wonderful environment, and it was lucky that we were able to have that space, and it felt intimate. It felt like a short independent movie, you know. Mm. So
I tell you what, we've got a little clip. Why don't we have a listen to it now?
Ah, deep breath, darling. Away. Wrong choice of words.
I hope they've locked pain to your every last nerve, because I'm going to go looking.
Hey, you grow back body parts now, Wade. When I'm finished, parts will have to grow back you.
Good one. Yep, that's a good one. Let's dance. And by dance, I mean let's try to kill each other.
It's just kind of a good job there aren't any pictures with that. You won an award, didn't you? Best fight sequence.
Yes, at the MTV Movie Awards.
Yeah, that's very cool. I see, like, you are ridiculously hunky and all that. I mean, you know, I'm just saying. And your body is harder than like cucumbers.
Cucumbers are not hard.
Oh, where are you buying your cucumbers? Where'd you buy your cucumbers? Cucumbers are hard.
Yours are too ripe, dude.
Yours are overripe, man. Listen, cucumbers eventually turn to liquid in the bottom of my fridge. I'm talking about a like one that you've just had delivered by Ocado. Okay. You can't get a firmer cucumber than that. Okay. But anyway,
I'll take it as a compliment. Cucumber.
I don't mean it's green or I don't. But like you must have had to do a ton of training for this.
Yes.
And did you enjoy that, does that feel like work to you?
I mean, I love training. I mean, you know.
Do you?
Yeah, I really do. I really do. I love training, and I love, you know, being in control of my body and being in control of the things I put in, and then, you know, feeling how my body feels different, you know, when with the different things that I put into it and different nutritional decisions that I make. And so I did love it, but it was bloody hard. And by the end of it, after like 4.5 months of eating steamed white fish and broccoli, you know.
Cucumber.
And firm.
No, did you really eat broccoli? Because you eat broccoli in the movie.
I asked them for broccoli.
Did you?
I was like, I want to eat broccoli. And because first of all, I eat so much bloody broccoli. I love broccoli.
Do you?
Genuinely love it. Purple sprouted broccoli.
That's the king of broccoli.
That's the good-ish.
Yeah.
But over there, I was on, you know, it was mostly just your normal broccoli, which I still love. But then Ryan had this wonderful idea. I mean, basically for that scene, we'd found that we were getting a bit repetitious with, when he was in the punch bowl inside the torture mechanism,
yeah.
I'd always be standing in front of him and just looking down at him.
Right.
And it got a bit repetitive. So we said, how can we change this up? And we said, Ryan said, look, why don't you eat during the scene? And we were like, yeah, that's great. And I was like, why don't I eat broccoli? They're like, yeah, let's okay, great.
Get me some broccoli.
Yes, exactly. That was my diva moment. I need more broccoli. But it was hard work. But by the end of it, I was just like, I just want to eat cheeseburgers, drink beer, and eat popcorn and stuff. But then, you know, that those sort of my binges after those jobs, they last about a week or two, and then I'm like, okay, I'm craving white fish and broccoli again. So it's lucky that I enjoy it so much.
Yeah. Are you okay to stick around after the break?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be brilliant. All right, we're talking to Ed Skryant a little bit more after this.
Talk Radio. Digital debate for the UK.
Pick up your phone and talk radio.
We'll get you talking.
Let's start the meeting with a round of quick-fire questions. Whoever gets the most correct answers gets tomorrow off. First question, what's the most efficient way to manage our expenses?
Concur.
How can you capture supplier invoices electronically and manage approvals from anywhere?
Concur.
By switching to blank, we now have the tools that give us full visibility into company spend.
Concur.
Bob, you're the winner. You get tomorrow off.
But tomorrow's Saturday.
A deal's a deal.
Oh.
Expense, travel, invoice. Learn more at concur.co.uk.
Euro 2016. Goal-scoring legends, red card villains, and returning champions. Tenbet, premium sports betting. Over 22,000 live events every month. Hundreds of in-play and fast markets. Feel the excitement. Kick off with a first deposit bonus of up to £200. Play at tenbet.co.uk. That's 1-0-bet.co.uk.
5-0 levels of deposit and bonus required. Minimum deposit £15. Please gamble responsibly.
The Peugeot 308. Powerful profile. Sleek lines. Really? Is this how we're supposed to choose a car? What if we based our decision on what the car is actually like to drive? Not just a quick spin around the block, but a 48-hour test drive. Remember, you buy the image, but you fall in love with the detail. Peugeot 308. Confidence built in. Arrange a 48-hour test drive at Peugeot.co.uk. Participating dealers only. Conditions apply.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
In Buckinghamshire, the inside lane is closed on the M1 southbound between junction 14 and 13 near Milton Keynes following an accident. There's over 6 miles of queues. Northbound traffic was halted early on for the air ambulance to that, so that has left the scene, but the traffic is stationary from 12 at Flitwick up towards 14 for Milton Keynes. And barrier repairs continue after an accident on the westbound M4. One lane is closed off between junction 6 and 7 near Slough, and the queues are back to junction 5 for the A4 at Langley. I'm Jamie Sercombe.
As you can see, it's a well-appointed pied-à-terre, ideally suited to a young couple, charmingly unfussy decor throughout. a stone's throw from the lively cosmopolitan nightlife scene with close proximity to local transport links.
Does it come with a roof?
No, it's what we call a fixer-upper.
Whether you're looking to own, rent, print or pimp a pad, make sure you listen to Home Rule with Martin Roberts. He's the property professor who's slapping on his bricks and mortarboard to give you expert advice on achieving your dream home. Home Rule with Martin Roberts. Pick up the keys this Saturday morning from 11 on Talk Radio. Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Very good afternoon to you. It's Jake Yap sitting in for John Holmes on Talk Radio. It's, of course, Celebrity Wednesday. And we're talking to... I don't even know what to... What annoys me about you is that you're so cool. Like, you're, like, maddeningly cool.
Cool as a cucumber.
Cool as a ripe cucumber. Let's be perfectly, like, you're cooler. Like, as a fetus, you were cooler than I was. It's the baddie in Deadpool, Ed Skrein, and I wanted to talk. What's it like working with Ryan Reynolds? Because obviously he's very funny in the film.
Yeah, I mean,
is he a tyrant in real life? Tyrant.
Yeah, I mean, he is a diva.
Yeah,
he's horrible.
Unbelievable.
He's mean to everyone.
Wow.
He would pinch me in between takes and scratch me.
Did he make you cry?
And man, Ryan is exactly the same as people see. It's just not an act. He's a funny, charming, generous, lovely guy. I wish I could, wish I had something bad to say about him, but I have nothing bad to say about him. He's a true gentleman. He's generous with his energy, and he's a guy that that a lot of people could learn from.
I wanted to talk about how you get from Camden, which is where you grew up, right? Into doing these massive blockbuster movies in Hollywood. You're now...
You've got to come from somewhere.
Doing the transport. Well, you have got to come from somewhere. Look, I'm from Catford. So it's like a North London, South London, you know. I don't
want any trouble, all right?
Right. No, you don't, bruv, because Catford, do you know what I mean? Like, that's Catford. Like, yeah, all right, whatever. You've got, like, all the powers and you can, like, torture people, but I come from the Downham estate. Anyway, How do you do that? Because you were at art school, right, at St. Martin's.
Mm, mm.
And did you started acting?
Well, it was
Plan B, right? Was this?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was. Yeah, it's been a long journey. I mean, I didn't have an agent until I was 28, and I didn't.
Oh my God, how old are you?
I'm 33.
Man, he looks good for 33. You look very good for 33.
Thank you, sir.
I thought you were a puppy.
I mean, I did my first acting job. We shot Ill Manners, which was my first movie at 27.
Wow.
So, it was very late in my life, which was perfect in the sense that, I'd had enough time to already exercise my demons and ego and all of that somewhat. And so I can step into this now and just see it for what it really is, rather than all the jazz and glitter.
Yeah,
you know, and see it for its blessings, and navigate the blessings from the curses, and you know, and so that was great. But I mean, yeah, I started at art school Byam Shore, which was a tiny subsidiary of Central St Martin's in Upper Holloway Archway, and I loved it, and then got into the underground music scene, underground hip hop. It was an amazing time around.
Because you did music as well, didn't you?
Yeah, the turn of the millennium to like to about 2007-8.
I've got to ask you, is it true what I read on the internet that you used to be known as the Dinner Lady PIMP? Is that true?
That was a silly alias that we used to mess around with. But yes, that was I think that was one of my email addresses as well.
It's a great name, because nothing is fiercer than a dinner lady.
Yeah.
Mrs. Burgess when I was little, man, when I didn't eat my parsnips.
It's true. I remember Kathy at my cafe, she used to like, now that was an alias, a silly alias that we used to mess around with. But you know, the underground music scene was wonderful at that time. You had people like Skinny Man, Task Force, Kalashnikov, Jest. You know, there was amazing synergy and small underground scene that no one knew outside of it. But we had a wonderful time. And at the same time, I was teaching swimming and athletics, and I set up a swim school and did that as well. You know, that's not as well documented, but that was an important part of my life in terms of my forming as a human. And then
it's kind of like Jim Carrey He said when he landed the part of Ace Ventura, he said it took me 18 years to become an overnight success.
Yeah,
and it's that thing that no one sees the tail, the long slow climb up to that. Stamina, doesn't it?
It takes heart and love. Like, I loved painting. I loved throwing paint at canvases, and then I loved, you know, ciphering and making records and putting them out and performing them. And now I love doing this, and I'm not doing this so that I can become successful in this. I've always just followed what I love. And when I don't love this anymore, I'll do something else that I love. And you know, and so, yeah, it's taken a lot of patience and perseverance. And, you know, I've stuck to my guns. Mm. That doesn't mean everything's worked. That doesn't mean everything was... You know, that it's all been roses. You know, yeah. I've been broke for a long time. You know what I mean?
But that's the people will only see your successes in many respects.
Yes.
You know, because those are the only things that people get to see.
But I just, you know, I always want people to judge, to you know, I'd like to be, I wish we would be judged on our failures as much as our successes. And we would have a more balanced approach to life in general, you know. To, you know, like in If, it says, you know, if you greet triumph and adversity as the two imposters that they are, then you're a man. And it's like...
Dude, you've got to start doing audiobooks.
But they are imposters, both of them. So, you know, the overnight success thing is a moniker for other people. But I'm just, you know, I just keep calm and carry on, stay on my path. And I know I've got a lot more to give. I know I've got a lot more potential. I've got a lot to improve. And I'm in the process of improving, of fulfilling that potential. So, just keep calm and carry on.
Staying grounded is important. I on the Sunday Breakfast Show, we talked to, this is not in your league, but Thunder Levin, the guy who wrote the Sharknado movies, which I don't know if you've seen them. They are so much fun. And actually not a million miles away from Deadpool in terms of being very sort of self-aware, you know what I mean? And he sort of said that, you know, he wrote this movie and it took off, and all his friends said, so dude, you're going to all the parties in LA now and stuff? And he's like, no, of course I'm not. I'm just getting on with my work. Yeah. Like, and I think that that's the thing when you get that success a little bit, like, I mean, 33 is still very young, but a little bit later on when you've maybe had a few knocks, yep. It does keep you grounded. And you've got a little boy as well, haven't
you? Exactly, and that keeps you grounded, you know, and really, my life is just about improving as a as an actor and improving as a human being outside of that. So, you know, improving as a human being helps me as an actor. Being grounded, coming back to London and, you know, going and seeing everyone and reconnecting with everyone and living in real life with everyone's real life problems, including my own and other people's, you know, that's important. You know, I'm not... my head's not in the clouds, you know. It's easy to imagine something like Deadpool. Imagine, like, oh, yeah, everything's changed, everything's different. Yeah. But, like, people's aunties are still getting cancer. People's kids are still, like, this stuff is, you know, life continues as normal, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I stay grounded. And I'm just thankful that I love my job, you know. And I think that it's such a blessing in life when you enjoy your job. And, you know, we should all do things that we love. And a lot of people, my job would be an absolute nightmare. The actual reality of it, not the fantasy of it. So, you know, I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful that my life is grounded outside of it.
Do you still shop in supermarkets?
Of course.
Do you?
Of course.
Do you buy broccoli?
Where else do I buy my stuff, man?
Because imagine people at the till going, oh my God.
Well, now I've got a little bit of hair. I don't...
Right, because you had to shave your head for this.
Exactly. Twice, no less. Because I went back for the reshoots in November. And they said, okay, we've got reshoots, blah, blah, blah. And I said, Tim, the director, who were, you know, really good friends by that point. And I said, Tim, man, come on. You've got a CGI character in Colossus. Yeah. You were doing... cyber scans of me that took 45 minutes, whole body computer scans in every outfit and all of that. You know, you've got all of this CGI and you've got this, the best hair and makeup guy in the world, Bill Corso. Please, can you give me a bald cap or something? Please don't make me cut my hair. And he was like, shut up, Goldilocks, it's coming off.
No!
And yeah, I mean, you know, as a friend, but still, I was like, okay, cool, whatever. So went back, chopped my hair off, and then I started trying to grow it again, as you know, immediately.
afterwards, you know. But
well, so, come on, you're all man. It must have taken you like, I bet that, I'm looking at what, 7 or 8 minutes worth of stubble growth on you there today. Come on.
If only.
If only. Thank you so much for coming in and talking to us today.
It's an absolute pleasure.
It's been a joy to meet you, Ed Skrine. And Deadpool the movie is out on, is it on Blu-ray and DVD? Blu-ray and DVD on Monday, right? Brilliant. People should go and get it. It's a great watch. Thanks very much indeed. You're listening to Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. Digital debate for the UK.
Pick up your phone and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking. Talk Radio.
You're listening to Talk Radio. Let's catch up with the latest news headlines with Victoria Bourne.
Thanks, Jake. The Prime Minister's encouraging people to continue to register to vote in the EU referendum, even though the deadline was last night. David Cameron says urgent discussions are taking place to ensure people who want to vote can, after the website went down for almost 2 hours. Conservative MP Matthew Hancock says there was an unprecedented surge in demand.
The peak before the 2015 general election was 74,000 applications per hour, and last night the system processed 214,000 per hour at its peak before it crashed.
A man with a history of mental health problems is facing years in jail for trying to murder a random stranger at a London tube station. 30-year-old Mahadim Maya wanted to behead Lyle Zimmerman with a rusty knife at Leytonstone last December in an attack inspired by the killers of Fusilier Lee Rigby. The former owner of BHS has been accused of being a Premier League liar by the store's managers, who've been giving evidence to MPs at a hearing into the collapse of the firm. The ex-chief executive has even alleged Dominic Chappelle threatened to kill him in a row over money. A safari park has pleaded guilty to health and safety breaches after a keeper was killed by a tiger in May 2013. 24-year-old Sarah McClay was pounced on in the keeper's corridor of the tiger house at South Lakes Wild Animal Park in Cumbria. And Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling is urging audience members at last night's theatre debut not to give anything away. The first preview of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child took place at London's Palace Theatre, with fans given badges saying hashtag keep the secret. The play is set 19 years after Rowling's final novel and officially opens on July the 30th. Devon Stormont, a student who saw the premiere last night, has told Talk Radio she'd give it a rating 10 out of 10.
The actors that were portraying the characters on stage, they did an amazing job. It was perfect, and everyone trusted J.K. Rowling, and she pulled it off.
The weather, lots of sunny spells, but some heavy showers are likely to develop this afternoon, mainly in the northwest of England and Wales and the southeast of England. Highs of 25 degrees. There's more in half an hour.
Every weeknight from 10 p.m., take a far-out trip into the twilight zone of late-night radio with Ian Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo-Lee.
Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Ian Lee on air and off the leash.
My name's Ian Lee. I'm on at 10 o'clock at night, 10 till 1. It's going to be awesome.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late night Ian Lee. Tonight from 10 on Talk Radio.
He is our friend.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
To you, it's Jake Yap with David Bowie in the background. This is Black Star, one of his later works, and we were talking about David Bowie yesterday. He's in the papers, well, not directly in the papers today, on page 12 of the Daily Star. Adele, she's not that good. David Bowie's producer believes that studio trickery. Oh, that trickery, eh? The trickery boxes you can buy now, it helps distort Adele's voice. Tony Visconti, the man behind Bowie's greatest works and the Biscuits, is disillusioned with today's stars. He's throwing down. He says, you turn the radio on and it's fluff. You're listening to 90% computerized voices. We know Adele has a great voice, but it's even questionable if that's actually her voice or how much has been manipulated. We don't know. Why is he kicking off? Oh, because he's launching a new TV talent show called Guitar Star.
What are the chances?
Oh, yeah, well, it's weird, that, isn't he? Look, let's get back to... I'm looking for virtuosos, he said. Like Hendrix, Cobain and Bowie. There's no fluffy backstory. There's no I lost my pet dog in 97 and that made me want to play nonsense. No one can mistake me for Simon Cowell. No, they might mistake you for Paul Simon. Do you think Paul Simon?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Anyway, we were talking about this yesterday, Cornelius, and apparently there's like a big vault, isn't there? There's a big sort of back catalogue of his work that no one's heard.
Unreleased.
Unreleased material. Well, I've got an exclusive for you now, which is I'm going to play you now a new David Bowie track that I don't think it's been played anywhere before. We talked about it yesterday. It's called Cheese and Pickle Sandwiches. Let's have a listen.
Cheese and pickle sandwiches. Cheese and pickle sandwiches. I've got a new favourite, which is cheese and pickle sandwiches. Margarine and tangy cheese. Juicy, crunchy pickle. I don't want that sandwich pickle version. I like the bar. Everybody loves doing David Bowie. Cheese and pickle sandwiches. I don't like the ones from garages. Cheese and pickle sandwiches. Cheese and pickle sandwiches.
Good, isn't it?
Love it.
I mean, it's unmistakably him.
Oh, definitely.
That's the thing.
You can see a lot of his other work in it.
It's somewhat self-derivative.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, some would say almost too close. Well, there you go. That's a world exclusive for you here on Talk Radio. Don't say we don't spoil. Of course we do. I've got some hilarious celebrities in it with hilarious hair news for you, Cornelius. Two stories. One in the Daily Star, page 23. Harry Potter. Harry Potter. Isn't that marvellous? Mm. Daniel Radcliffe looks more like Harry Potter. More like... I always say, Harry Potter, more like, I always say. The 26-year-old actor was appearing on The Tonight Show, starring Jimmy Fallon in New York. Ah, what a joke. Daniel and chat show host Jimmy, 41, looked back at their historical lookalikes, which included Steno. Look at this. This will get you chuckling.
Yeah, go on.
It's Daniel Radcliffe.
in a wig.
In a fairly realistic wig. Oh, that is funny. But he's not the only one. This is the point. Hijinks galore. Because this from the Daily Mail. The night Meryl put on a show to trump them all. The fake orange tan was surprisingly lifelike, though perhaps the blonde wig was not quite bouffant enough. But the effect was unmistakable as Meryl Streep brought... She brought the house down, Cornelius.
Really?
She more like, I always say. House. Yeah. With her hilarious take on Donald Trump. And look there, look at that.
I've seen a photo, yeah.
Yes! I wonder what had you vomiting with laughter in the office earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was that obviously is what it was.
It's a thing.
Here's the thing. It was good, wasn't he? Ed Skrein there.
Ed Skrein, yeah, very interesting, very good. It's good to have an A-lister on the show.
It is good to have an A-lister on. Well, it's Celebrity Wednesday.
Celebrity Wednesday.
We always do that.
Who have we got on next Wednesday?
Next Wednesday we've got the guy who renovated the pier in Widnes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So. Week after's Cat Bin Lady as well. She's going on tour. Yeah.
She's going on tour.
Yeah.
Have you seen her act?
Yeah, yeah.
It's horribly disturbing. Apparently she sat down within the first 5 minutes.
She's been working with Diversity, the dance troupe, and it looks amazing now.
They're all backflipping frantically, yeah. And then she opens a bin and puts a cat in it. It's a great show. If you haven't seen it, take the family. Never mind the new Harry Potter film show, stage show. Go and see the Cat Bin Lady live show with Diversity. It really is a very entertaining night out for all the family. Apparently tickets changing hands for upwards of £8 on those sort of scalping websites that they have. Now, coming up directly, we've got some honest parenting advice for you. This isn't Net Mums or Mums Net or Met Nums or Num Nim Net. This is kind of real world. It's often gin-based. We're going to be talking to Prince Abdi for about what to do. I want to know what to do about breakfast for my child. He's getting more and more outlandish with his demands. That's up next.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. Access all radios.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
Hi there, I'm James Martin. I don't usually do Wednesdays, but this summer I'm working with Asda to answer your everyday meal questions. How can I help you, Kelly?
Hi, James. I've got some school mums coming over for lunch tomorrow, so I need something quick but impressive. Any thoughts?
Crunchy cauliflower couscous is perfect. Whiz up a cauliflower in a food processor and add pomegranate, apricots, spring onion, fresh herbs and some flaked almonds and pistachios from Asda's Good and Balanced range.
Yeah.
For the dressing, maple syrup, white wine vinegar and a bit of curry powder. And you've got a fabulous summer dish.
That sounds incredible.
It is. And if you want to try it at home, visit asda.com/James Martin for all the details.
Selected stores subject to availability.
Sounds fantastic. What's this fantastic sound then? That's a kookaburra in a Hillman Minx colliding with a set of tubular bells. So what about this sound?
To compare.
Well, talking of cheaper car insurance, that's the sound telling millions of county drivers where to look.
It's where you go to insure your motor. Nothing quite compares to go compare.
Sounds fantastic.
It's a beautiful thing when little things come together. Life is in the details. The new Volvo V40R design with adaptive digital display, Thor hammer headlights and 17-inch diamond-cut alloys. Now all this and more from just £259 a month, including maintenance, with Volvo car leasing, with an initial rental of £259.
4-year contract hire agreement offer ends June 30th, subject to status. Mileage and return conditions apply. Optional maintenance covers routine servicing, tyres, replacement parts and repairs due to fair wear and tear. Visit volvocars.co.uk for more details.
Book a test drive today at your nearest Volvo showroom.
Still thinking about the cauliflower couscous with pomegranate? All those nuts and fresh herbs? And that dressing? Well, it's not just for Kelly. Now you can have it too, because Asda's pomegranate seeds are just £1 a pack. You can get all these ingredients at Asda, as well as a full recipe at asda.com/James Martin.
Selected stores subject to availability. 80 grams.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
In Buckinghamshire, the inside lane is closed on the M1 southbound between junction 14 and 13 near Milton Keynes following an accident. There's over 6 miles of queues. Northbound traffic was halted early on for the air ambulance to land. That has left the scene, but the traffic is stationary from 12 at Flitwick up towards 14 for Milton Keynes. And barrier repairs continue after an accident on the westbound M4. One lane is closed off between junction 6 and 7 near Slough, and the queues are back to junction 5 for the A4 at Langley. I'm Jamie Sercombe.
Start your engines, petrol heads, and don't miss the Motor Show. It's automotive for the people on your radio. Sports cars, pickups, 4x4s, GTI or coupe. What convertible is best to buy for a bloke who wears a toupee? He's the motor mouth with the V8 brain. His car know-how is stunning. Listen to Revved Up Andy J and get your motor running.
The Motor Show with Andy J.
Expert car talk that doesn't use a sneaky gadget to improve emissions.
This Saturday afternoon from 3 on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
It's time now for a slot we call Honest Parenting. I have a little boy. He's going to be 3 this month. He's very excited. I'm very excited. I'm more excited because I know what's happening. I know what he's getting. It's going to be awesome. B-I-K-E. That's all I'm going to say. Anyway, parenthood is a wonderful thing. It's a blessing, but it can also be a pain. And you know, there's so much advice flying out there. So many people say, "Oh, you know, you can get them to eat a balanced meal if you simply..." I don't know. Well, no, I can't say it. Anyway, you know what I'm saying? You get a lot of people wading in, and it's not very realistic advice. And you sort of nod and smile, and then back away. So we're trying to get some more honest parenting advice, and today we're eliciting the help of Prince Abdi. He's an actor and comedian, and joins us on the line now. Hello.
Hello there, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. In fact, I think I did stand-up on a boat the same night as you a few weeks ago.
Oh, excellent. Which one was that? Was that in Tattershall Castle?
It was the Tattershall Castle on the Thames in London.
That's a good gig, that is.
It is a good gig, although I don't think I did very well. Anyway.
I think you did great.
Yeah, you did. And that's the point. That was the peak of the evening, really. It was all downhill after that, which is a terrible thing in a boat. So tell us, for you, parenthood, how many children have you got? What are they?
Well, I have one, and she's 5 years old.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, it was pretty hard last first 2 years because I didn't get any sleep and she was just waking up all the time. Yeah. And then now it's a little bit more better, but she still wakes up early in the morning, and I work at night, so it can be quite difficult trying to.
Yeah.
And she's up. I mean, Monday to Friday, it's like she's got school and I'm going to do the school run, but weekends is up again, 5:30 in the morning. Daddy!
She's still on the 5:30 thing.
Yeah, I need to get her some sleeping pills.
I do not understand. Like, what happens to parents from this age when they're like 5 to when they're teenagers? Like, why would you complain about your child sleeping in till 11 o'clock in the morning? How could that ever be a problem?
I have no idea. But I guess it means in the job that you do as well, because you have to have that balance where, you know, you'd be able to wake up early in the morning for them and then at times. I mean, if my daughter slept on weekends or like midday, I'll be the happiest dad ever.
Yeah.
She's up 5:30. The latest she's ever got up has been 7 o'clock, and that's the record.
Wow, man, that's painful. So I'm kind of chuffed, I'm relieved to hear that you do the kind of school run and some of the morning stuff, because that's something I wanted to talk about. Can you describe what's a typical then morning? So it starts 5:30. Does she come into your room?
Yeah, she'll come into my room and she would just like wake me up, and she doesn't wake the mum up, she wakes me up.
All right, how is that done? Is that the usual stomping on the throat technique, or?
I think her and mum have done like some sort of a deal, because she never wakes the mum up. It's always me. So, well, I you know, I've got quite a long, big hair, so she always pulls my hair.
Oh, hair pulling, okay. It's always something. It's usually the throat stomp for me, but okay. Each to their own.
She learned how to turn on the radio as well, so she'll put the radio right next to my ear. Again, I think she's done this with her mum. They've done this. this trick.
And how long do you lie there thinking, I must dredge up the energy to end this?
I have to usually just... I'm one of those... I'm a very light sleeper, so I always get up straight away if she wakes me up. So I can't really go back to sleep. I don't really do snoozes. I know most people do it, but I don't actually do snoozes. So I get up straight away, make sure she has a bath, and then she has breakfast, and then sometimes she doesn't even want breakfast at home because she's a little diva. She's like, I want to go to breakfast club, so extra early to school for breakfast club.
I see. I'm interested now. See, now you've come onto what I wanted to talk about, which is brilliant, which is breakfast, because my little boy Spike, he's great, but you know,
nice name.
Thanks. It took a bit of nerve to you know, stick with it, nice, but nice. He's certainly sort of, he's lived up to his name now. He's very much a Spike, and and he's a lot of fun. And so for the first few months that he was on solid food, you know, I'd sort of do like a mashed banana thing with yogurt and berries and some oats or whatever, and you know, that went fine. And then we got into cereal and toast and stuff. And then one morning we went downstairs and I said, well, what would you like for breakfast? And he said, gnocchi. Which, you know, it betrays our middle classness. You know, I'm aware of that. But this is my top tip, right? If you've never done this before, don't boil gnocchi. Mm-hmm. Fry it.
Well, this is
a Nigella Lawson recipe. Fry your gnocchi. It turns into these little crispy, chewy parcels, right? Bit of smoked paprika, a little bit of garlic powder. Oh, my God, it's delicious.
Yucky, I need to get that.
Yeah.
There's a waitress nearby, so I might have to
there you go,
today.
There you go. So,
get one from there.
So one morning he was like, gnocchi, I want gnocchi. I was like, seriously, for breakfast? And he's like, yes. And actually, you know what, it's perfect. Like, it's a perfect breakfast food, lots of carbs, you know, sort of dosed him up for the day. But he this morning went downstairs he said to Kim, my partner, she said, what do you want for breakfast? And he said, pasta. And it's like, dude, cut me some slack. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't got time to make you a dinner before we start the day. But you just...
Well, oh, God.
We gave up and he got pasta for breakfast. Was that a mistake? Do you think, was that a mistake?
Well, that's the thing. Sometimes when they make up their mind, they just stick to what they were. My daughter's the same. One morning she wanted chips. She just went, I want chips and ketchup.
There you go.
So you can't have chips and ketchup. She goes, I have to have it, Daddy. I have to have it.
So well, you know what it's like when you want chips, man. I mean, it's hard.
It's like late night going to a kebab shop. That's how they behave.
So she didn't get chips?
No, she did not get chips.
See, that's where I went wrong.
She cried for a little bit, but then she was okay. I made her laugh, and then she completely forgot.
Yeah.
I distract her. Yeah, it's all about distraction. That's what we've got to do.
Right.
Got to distract them.
Yeah, that's
good.
Got to
do something else straight away. Maybe like just... You know, give him a game on your phone or something.
Come on, you can't do, because that's like neuron crack for small children. You can't, like, we give him a tablet.
You just do it, not for long, so that they can get distracted. So
you're basically just chaining vice substitutes one for another, aren't you? You know, first it's like, I want this. Okay, well, let me give you this then. And then you need to get them off that, so you need to find something else to distract them with. Like
you distract them with that, and then distract them with something else.
I've started hoarding like little toy cars and toy trains and stuff. You can buy them for like £2 in supermarkets. I started hoarding them just literally as bribes to get him off whatever else. It's not good, is it?
Yeah,
it's not good. I need to just say no.
No, but that's the thing. My daughter, she's a daddy's girl, so whatever she wants, she usually gets. But every now and then, I have to put my foot down and say, no, you can't have that.
Yeah.
You just cannot have it. And yeah, she does kind of put a bit of tantrum, but she's okay after. It's just a distraction. Once I distract her, then she's fine.
How good is she at faking the tantrums? I mean, are they faked? Is she genuinely distressed, or you know, is it a kind of, you know?
No. She forces herself to cry, but she doesn't cry. So she'd be like, she's doing her best to cry, but she's not crying. There's no tears coming out.
You should sample that. That would work. And I tell you what, Ed Skrein would be all over that as a sample in his next record. If you haven't heard any of his rap and stuff.
So sometimes I actually mock her. She would laugh. So when she's going, yeah, the guy just going, yeah. She'd be like, stop it, Daddy. Then she'll be fine after. it's just distraction after is the best advice from me, anyway.
Yeah, distraction. You're right. And bribery. And
a bit of bribery doesn't hurt.
Yeah, pleading and begging. Thank you so much for joining us today. So what's the plan? Is she at school today then?
She's at school, yeah. I've got to pick her up soon.
Oh, there you go. All right, well, enjoy these last few moments of freedom.
thanks very much.
And thanks very much for talking to us today. If anyone wants to follow you on Twitter, how should they do that?
Yes, thanks. It's at Prince Abdi. So it's Prince and then ABDI. I've also got a Facebook page as well, which is just Prince Abdi 2.
Prince Abdi 2. There's another Prince Abdi? Or was it a first draft?
So the Prince Abdi 2 is my like page, and then the Prince Abdi is the one that I use for friends.
Okay. I think it's good to keep your fans in their place. It's a good idea.
Yeah. I like them to come and see me.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, it's been lovely to talk to you today. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks very much.
Take care. That was Prince Abdi. No, we won't. I was going to say we'll have more tomorrow, but we won't, because John Holmes is back tomorrow, isn't he? Well, that'll be nice for everybody, won't it?
You'll do it at home on your own, though, won't you? You carry on the show, don't you?
This is what I'd be doing at home anyway.
That's why we got you in. So
you could see the neediness. here's a question for you then, Cornelius.
Yes, please.
What do you think is the top brand, like the most valuable brand in Britain?
Joe. Should have said Russell, really.
That's very good.
I'm going to go for Brian. Probably a supermarket, is it?
What's your guess?
Sainsbury's.
No. It's Vodafone.
Vodafone?
I know, that's what I said. Well, no, you can't, just in case they want to. No, but I'm just saying. I was just quite surprised. 25.4 billion.
So they got the most money?
Yes.
Wow.
It's kind of impressive.
I wonder how.
Well, by providing excellent telephone service, I would have thought.
Mm.
It's got to be, hasn't it? And I'm not going to be saying that, Cass, what you just said in my ear. Otherwise, we'll all be fired. So, I was quite impressed by that. I mean, what are you trying to do? What kind of nihilism? Do you know the hardest thing about working in talk radio is all the producers are nihilists.
Mm, it's very taxing.
They're like, I believe in nothing. I believe in chaos. I believe in anarchy. Like Nick, who produces the Sunday breakfast show that I'm normally on when I'm not covering for John Holmes. You know, he's like, this is the kind of guy who would just cut his own face off with a craft knife just to see what happened. You know, just giggling like a lunatic, bubbling through the blood. And then you've got, you know, people saying things in your ear that get you sued. Brilliant. Excellent news. Have you heard about Ellie Gould? This is the big gossip today. It's in all the papers.
Ellie Gould.
Ellie Goulding.
Ellie Goulding.
Ellie Goulding, sorry.
Yeah, I could tell you some stories about her.
Go on.
I'll have to do it off air.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she went to my uni.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, she's like, she's well in the running to become like Princess Elliot, this, according to all the papers.
Oh, yeah? Well, was she hanging out with Harry?
Yeah.
No
Go
way.
Boys. apparently they've been spotted kissing and they exchange flirty texts.
Really?
Well, who knows that? Who knows about their flirty texts? A source said they only had eyes for each other all night at a polo event last week. They spent a lot of time sitting together under blankets. I don't know why that amuses me.
Like OAPs.
Ellie left about 5 minutes later. with a lawyer. But, yes, yeah, but, see, you think, well, it's in the can, because it's in at least a couple of papers, that story.
Yeah.
No. The Daily Express. This is where you get the real story.
Mm.
Yeah. Cheeky rock girl snap with, quote, new boyfriend Harry, the daughter of Bruce Springsteen, Olivia Talent. She's 19 years old. She's prompted wild rumours that she was Harry's new love after sharing a backstage photo of herself at Wembley with the smiling prince, his arm around her waist captioned, new boyfriend. There you go.
She's very literal with her comment.
Yes.
She didn't leave
he is mine now. This is the principle of ownership. So, I mean, Ellie Goulding, I mean, she's just gone from strength to strength. She had that song where she went, your boys. And then the shampoo advert.
Mm, yeah, she has a lot of her songs out. I once walked past her performing at Glastonbury.
Really?
Yeah.
Emphasis you mean a
on
song?
Walk past.
Just walk past.
Yeah.
So she went to university with you?
No, she was years before me.
Oh.
She dropped out, but there's still some brilliant rumours from the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Go on. Like what?
I literally can't say.
Write it down.
Do you have a pen?
Yeah, go on. Write it down. I want to see.
And it's definitely true.
Okay.
Maybe.
No. Where? In a hot tub. You are kidding me.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I guess someone would have had to go and get a sieve. So, I'm kidding. I'm having fun. This is a joke. We're having some fun this afternoon. I'm a bit demob happy because this is my last show before John Holmes returns tomorrow. Coming up, though, after the 2 o'clock news, we've just got everything. We've got TV Club. And wow, did we review some hot shows this week, Cornelius, didn't we?
I was supposed to go to a barbecue last night. I had to stay in to watch Emmerdale and Big Brother.
That's awful. You didn't. Did you really?
Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah, honestly.
I feel awful now. I'm really sorry.
Talk Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate and discourse.
Talk Radio, give it some lift.
Come on, lads! Oh, God, better take this. Hello! Oi, pipe down, you lot, I'm on a business call. Cheers. Hello?
With eReceptionist, all calls are answered and can be diverted to a colleague to suit your schedule. So with eReceptionist on your side, you'll never miss a business call. Or the game, for that matter. For a free 30-day trial, head to ereceptionist.co.uk. Usage conditions apply. Cancel any time within 30 days.
Come on!
44,000 UK men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in the next 12 months. Prostate Cancer UK has one ambition: to help stop men dying from prostate cancer. With your help, we can make prostate cancer a disease the next generation of men needn't fear. Search Men United and join the fight now.
Can a car be stylish and affordable, have tricks up its sleeve like advanced park assist, buy xenon headlights, come with a year's free insurance and be yours to drive for just $169 a month? Yes, it's a Corsa. And yes, it might leave you breathless. The Vauxhall Corsa Limited Edition 1.4i 75 PS 3-door with a year's free insurance for just $169 a month over 35 months with $2,704 advance rental. To find out more, search Corsa offers. Personal contract hire. Excess miles of contracted mileage of 24,000 over 36 months charged at 7 pence per mile. You will not own the car. Insurance underwritten by GS Insurance Limited. First year free insurance, 21 to 75-year-olds. License held minimum 1 year. 18 to 20s, contact your local retailer. T's and C's apply. Offer ends 30th June.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio.
Coming up in the next hour, we've got hipster news with Emily, the work experience girl. But in the meantime, it's time for us to catch up with the very latest news headlines with Victoria Bourne.
Thanks, Jake. Coming up, the PM urges people to keep registering for the EU vote. Police trace DNA of a woman's killer from 1996. And a Euro 2016 app is created to alert fans of terror attacks.
Talk Radio.
David Cameron says the government is urgently working to help people who've been unable to register to vote in the EU referendum. The gov.uk website was overloaded last night because of demand ahead of the midnight deadline. People are being told if they missed out, they can still sign up today. Gloria De Piero is the Shadow Minister for Young People and Voter Registration.
We are no clearer as to exactly how the government plans to make this happen and what the new deadline for registration is. I want to offer the government Labour's complete support across both houses to do whatever it takes to get any necessary legislation through. This should be done today.
A man who tried to behead a stranger at an East London tube station last December has been found guilty of attempted murder. 30-year-old Mahuddin Maher was originally accused of terrorism but was later charged with a criminal offence because of mental illness. The man who bought BHS and then led it to collapse has admitted he made a profit from the process. Dominic Chappelle bought the retailer for just £1 last year. He's been defending himself against a series of claims made to a committee of MPs, including an allegation he threatened to kill an ex-chief executive. Mr. Chappelle has defended making a profit and accused former owner Sir Philip Green of not helping him save BHS.
I have also worked in the business continuously during the last 13 months. I also racked up considerable fees on the way through.
Do you feel you've earned this profit?
Yes, I do.
What do you think about the 11,000 people who are in danger of losing their jobs?
Devastating. They should not have been there.
Detectives say they're a step closer to finding the person who killed a woman who was last seen alive in a nightclub in Bath 20 years ago. DNA evidence has been collected from where Melanie Hall's remains were found near to the M5 in Gloucestershire. Detective Superintendent Andy Bevan says he hopes this anniversary will jog the memory of any potential witnesses.
Coincidental that we're talking about today, the build-up to the 2016 European Football Championships, it was actually the opening game of the Euro 96 Football Championships, which was hosted in England, and it was actually England played Switzerland and drew 1-1. And that's on Saturday the 8th of June, the evening that Melanie went out with her friends in Bath.
The French government has created an app to alert fans going to the Euro 2016 of security threats. It flashes warnings if there's an attack close to their location or suspicion of an imminent strike. The Foreign Office has already warned those travelling to the tournament that stadiums, fan zones and transport hubs are potential targets for terrorists. And Sir Bruce Forsyth is said to be doing much better after having heart surgery. His wife says she's positive he can make a 100% recovery.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Lots of sunshine, but some heavy showers are likely to develop this afternoon, mainly in the northwest of England and Wales and the southeast of England. Highs of 25 degrees.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. England defender Chris Smalling has confirmed he has no injury concerns as preparations continue for Euro 2016. The Manchester United centre-back left training yesterday with strapping on his knee, but insists it's just part of his normal recovery process. Smalling says being a young squad should help for fitness at the tournament.
I think we've all individually come off a very successful sort of playing time and having a lot of games, and I think on the whole we're all feeling pretty fresh and just excited to be a part of such a big occasion.
Meanwhile, Northern Ireland will continue to monitor Kyle Lafferty after he limped out of training yesterday. Manager Michael O'Neill believes Lafferty will be fit for their opening game against Poland on Sunday. Eric Bailly has become Jose Mourinho's first signing as Manchester United manager. The Ivory Coast defender joins on a four-year contract, subject to a work permit from Spanish side Villarreal. Finally, onto cricket. England captain Alistair Cook says an unchanged side will be named for the third and final test with Sri Lanka at Lord's. England have, of course, already won the three-match series. That's the latest sports news powered by TalkSport.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon, it's Jake Yap in for John Holmes. He's back tomorrow following a complete rebuild of his nose, but obviously we can't talk about that. Previously today we had Ed Skrein in the studio talking about playing the baddie in Deadpool and going from Camden Art student to Hollywood actor and that. We got some honest parenting advice from Prince Abdi, and we had an exclusive first listen to David Bowie's Cheese and Pickle Sandwiches, previously unreleased track. But there's more to come. Winner of the Edinburgh Fringe Best Joke Award, can't remember which year, sorry, Rob Orton will be here live to talk about his lost and found, and Noel Edmonds will be on trial in our kangaroo court on terrorism charges. Obviously, this is spurious nonsense. We're having a bit of fun, and I believe the plea we need to submit is grand insult. But first, it's time for TV Club!
Fringe is dead, and books are dead, and plays are dead, and art is dead. It's the only thing you put in your head. It's time for TV Club!
Which one did you want to do first, Cass?
Well, I didn't want to do either of them at all.
Yeah, all right. Yeah,
I just want to make that clear.
Yeah, but moving on, yeah. Positivity, yes, I mean, positive
vibes. I've probably got...
Like Noel Edmonds, positive thoughts, yeah.
Well, I don't want to make myself ill.
No.
I've probably got the most to talk about Emmerdale.
All right, let's do Emmerdale then. I've got to do it. Emmerdale, which we never seen before. We picked it at random last night. TV Club, the principle is that it's like Richard and Judy's book club. We all watch the same TV show together. It's like reading a book together, except it's not boring. And there are a few weird people attending. Although, you know, Cass is, we just don't know, she's texting
Marta has just messaged me. Marta's messaged me.
Marta, who's not working in the studio today.
Yeah, she's sad that she missed Ed.
Good.
Good. Thanks for that, Marta. You can always text us. It's 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
Or you can get in touch on Twitter. It's at Talk Radio.
Start your message with any word you like.
Thank you very much. So, anyway, we picked a couple of shows to talk about today in TV Club. And one of them we picked at random. And it was Emmerdale, which none of us had ever seen before. And I venture to say, none of us will ever see again. We've got a little clip, though, if you'd like to get a little preview.
He'll be ready now. I don't think I can look.
Do you want me to? Chaz?
It's negative.
Blimey.
Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry about getting worked up all for nothing.
Yeah, well, I always said you were a drama queen. And I should know, I was married to one for long enough.
Oh, brilliant. obviously, that doesn't mean anything to any of us, and probably doesn't mean much to you. If there are any Emmerdale fans, I'd love to know your take on last night. Was it a particularly good one or a particularly average one? Cornelius, you were intrigued by the plot synopsis.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. So I've never watched Emmerdale before, so I pressed I on my remote to sort of get a bit more grounding as to what's going on. And it literally just said this. Chaz faces her fears. Emma is suspicious. David makes a decision. And
well,
that's it.
Yeah.
And that's the description of the show that they choose to entice people in.
Let me see if I can... Because they can't give anything away. But I'm going to give everything away. I'm going to give you the whole episode, a whole 22 and a half minutes. You ready? Here's what happened as far as I could tell, because I didn't really know who anybody was. Right, ready? There was a man in a Land Rover practicing proposing, and then some people in a house, and then a man called Chaz. Now, a lady called Chaz got run over by the Land Rover, except it was just her hand. And then a man had a cold and was on the phone, and he hung up, and some of his hair fell out, and a lady came in and said, I won't say out. And then another lady came in and said, are you all right, you two? And then the man who ran over the lady's hand were in hospital, and I didn't know if the lady had concussion or if she was just like that. And the nurse said something about a form needing to be filled in about being pregnant, and everybody looked at each other like, uh-oh. And then the lady called Chaz said, I think I am pregnant. And that wasn't even the advert break. And then two teenagers did jostling. and a lady told one of them going, Jacob, and I thought I was in trouble, like when the lady shouted Jake in Disco Ducks last Saturday when I took my little boy there, because you don't hear my name shouted out loud very often anyway. The Land Rover man has taken the pregnant lady called Chaz home to Dave, presumably, except the baby is definitely Gordon's and Chaz isn't happy about that. I mean, well, we all know Gordon, right? And a funny man waves at a lady outside in the street with personality glasses on, the man, not the lady. The lady's in a bar and wearing a red jacket, so she's presumably going on a date, and she gets a text saying something serious, I think, and the man in Sue Pollard glasses says, your dad has cancelled lunch, and now Sue Pollard man wants to have lunch with the lady. Oh, wait, she is his mum. Chaz has weed on a stick and has to wait to see if she's pregnant, and it is time for the adverts, which were really good. Chaz isn't pregnant, and she still gets very cry. Back in a calf, one of the schoolboys is wondering why he starts fights. Well, because it keeps the old tub going, son, don't even worry about it. And his mum eats his cake. Another boy gets an extreme haircut, and Sue Pollard does a bit of light relief in the bar. Now the Land Rover man is in his house with the lady and wants to propose to her, but now she finds the stick the other lady weed on, and now the cat is among the pigeons, and no mistake, oh my god, you can't end the episode there. It was amazing!
It was gripping, wasn't it?
Cass, you liked it.
No, I didn't. The notes that I wrote were just, like, there were two or three words, because I couldn't say anything.
Oh, I wrote, like, 1,000 words there.
Like I said, like, what you, the most important thing you missed was the weird goggle box openers, like the sponsor.
Oh, yeah, like the sponsored bumpers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The weird forced family, the weird forced northern family.
Oh, yeah.
Sat round the table.
Yeah.
What was that about?
Singing theme tune.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
Like, nobody of that age sits around with a family. What? I don't care if it's in the north. We don't do it.
Cass, I think this says more about you.
and
it says your family. Yeah, I mean, families, too, all families sit around chuckling in extremely brightly lit lounges. Chuckling at Emmerdale and singing the theme
getting
tune.
Getting on together.
And getting on, just having a
not
great...
Not one of them was on their mobile phone.
Okay, yeah, that's a bit of a stretch.
Meh.
But did you enjoy... I sort of enjoyed it. I was surprised.
Oh, seriously, something has happened with you. Because when we started this process last week, you hated everything. And I was getting on with that. And now you've settled in. Suddenly, you're loving life.
Yeah.
And you're loving awful, awful TV shows.
You've got to get past the hate, Cass. Yeah? Love is the answer. You've got to love Emmerdale.
I wrote down, obvious accident was obvious. He wasn't looking at the road once. Like, when he was trying... When he was practicing...
Accident.
Yeah.
I thought you said accent. The accident was a bit... It's just how it sounded. Yeah, it wasn't a very good accident.
But he was going to propose in the pub, so why was he pretending to propose in a Land Rover?
He was practicing. He was practicing saying
his
speech.
But why do you need to turn to the side to do it? You don't.
Yeah, that was a bit.
It was overly acted pointlessness to show that there was going to be an accident, which was obvious.
Oh, maybe it wasn't very good. Maybe I didn't enjoy it. Cornelius, did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I thought it was nice that Chaz faced her fears. I thought Emma was a bit suspicious.
She's always suspicious.
Yeah, and for me, I think David just had to make a decision.
I agree. No, it was very. You had a lot going on.
Yeah,
you had a lot going on.
I'll tell you what I found really weird. The one bit was you mentioned it in your synopsis when the lady in the red jacket was in the pub. She'd been stood up and she was talking to this. Person who didn't look like anyone I've ever seen.
Sue Pollard.
Yes. Yeah. And she just went, oh, your dad's not coming for lunch now. And he just went, oh, well, here's an idea, mum. Yeah. Why don't we have lunch? It's like, that's a very obvious thing to do. Because, you know, you're both there and your mother and son.
Yeah.
And she just sort of went...
She went weird about it, didn't she?
No, I've already eaten all of a sudden and just sort of tried to get out of it. It's like, what's the deal there?
Listen, if you watch Emmerdale, can you fill us in on the backstory? Why was that weird? 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
Or you can get in touch via Twitter. It's at Talk Radio.
Start your message with Emmerdale answers.
I want to know. I genuinely want to know. I'm kind of in.
But then there was a weird court case thing that we hadn't seen that Chaz and Dave were talking about.
Yeah.
And saying, the court case. Oh, God, no.
They really were Chaz and Dave.
Yeah.
Weren't they? Who's the guy in the last line of your synopsis?
Dave.
It was David.
It really was Chaz and Dave.
Chaz and Dave.
Chaz and Dave.
I wrote down Chaz and Dave.
Yeah.
They must have done
and
that
in the corner was that old piano. in the corner of the room.
What a wasted opportunity.
You won't stop talking.
And then, at the end of the episode, sorry.
You're pregnant. Go on.
When she went, woman in the red jacket went in the bin.
Hey?
She went in the bin to get out what he'd been...
she just went through the bin for no reason.
No, yeah. She'd rested it on the top of the bin. This was the pregnancy kit.
No. Right at... Did you watch the end of the episode?
Yes. I've read the synopsis.
Woman in the red jacket who got stood up in the pub, who ended up having to have lunch with Sue Pollard,
yeah.
Went back to her house where Chaz and David been.
Yeah.
And she went in the bin and found, like, a mascara or something. And the pregnancy...
it wasn't a mascara.
No, but then she pulled out the box with a pregnancy test in it.
Well, yeah.
But why was she in the bin?
Oh, come on.
I don't... When I get home, the last thing I want to do is stick my head in the bin and dig out other people's rubbish.
To be honest, that's the first thing I want to do.
Well, that's because you break into people's houses.
I don't wait till I get home. I'll just do it in any public bin. Just get my head right in there. I had to do that once for a TV show.
Did you?
What, bin surf?
It was awful. It was called Stop the World.
You'll do anything for money.
Oh, it wasn't even for money.
Oh, God.
They paid £10 to cover expenses for a day's filming. Performing comedy in public. Isn't that horrific?
I will give you £10 to go out and bin sift and do some comedy.
Going for
if that's all you cost.
I venture to say it's probably not true, but I'm not quite that needy now.
going for a bin in public is not comedy, Jake.
It's quite desperate. It's sad.
It was by no stretch of the imagination was it comedy. It was awful. It was all sort of like shot on hidden cameras. Right? So no one knew what you were doing. They just thought you were a mad person.
By hidden cameras, you actually mean CCTV.
Okay, look, there was no one else there. It was just me, right?
Did you find a tenner on the floor and then start looking through a bin?
They had this budget. I mean, I honestly, they paid me £10 to do a day's filming. And I said, you know, showed up at the shoot. I was like, right, so what are the sketches like? What do you want me to do? And they're like, oh, I don't know, just do something funny. I was like... Okay, and we were like in central London, and you're literally just trying to find goofy things to do in public. So, like, I just put a sandwich in a bin and then went back 5 minutes later and fished it out and ate it because I didn't know what else to do. But there was a really awful moment when there was this couple, and I literally just racking my brains for things to do. We're in Trafalgar Square, right? It's hidden cameras, like, no one knows that this is on film. And I start, stretching, like bending my back a bit, kind of like, oh. And I go up to this couple, it's a very sweet old couple, and I say, sorry, would you mind like pushing my like, oh. And the woman was like, she knew what I was talking about, and I was like, I've never done. She's like, oh, is it going like your shoulder? I was like, yeah, do you want me to push it? And then I was like, yeah, would you mind? She's like, yeah. So I turn my back to this old woman, and she starts pushing my shoulder blade for me. I'm like, that's it, a bit lower, yeah, now push hard. And I just hit the deck, right? And the thing was, I sort of thought, well, this would be moderately amusing. Presumably they'll laugh. But of course, they didn't know it was on camera. So they just, like, the woman, like, the guy was like, oh my God, is he okay? And the woman was like, come away. She thought it was like some kind of scam and I was going to sue them. I felt so bad for that. That's haunted me ever since, like, I was only like 21 or something.
Is this footage available anywhere? On like YouTube?
No, I think it was all destroyed along with anything to do with BBC Choice, which became BBC Three. But yeah, it was a really awful thing that we did. Really awful. Awful thing. I'm a terrible person. Feel free to judge me. No one has told us what happened in Emmerdale.
I'm not watching anymore to find out.
I might. We're going to tell you everything you don't need to know about Big Brother next.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Dial up and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Is your chili con carne more like chili con carnage? Your fondue more of a fondant? Then you really need to listen to the recipe of the day on Talk Radio with Encona. This Saturday morning from 8, join Penny Smith and a top chef special guest as they demonstrate a fresh and flavoursome new recipe guaranteed to give you kitchen kudos. Plus, answer a cookery question at talkradio.co.uk/competitions to win a hamper of Encona goodies. The recipe of the day on Talk Radio in association with Encona. Banish the bland.
Join Sky with any TV bundle from £20 a month and get a free 32-inch LG TV.
A free TV? Incredible! Did I say that out loud?
Catch Sky Atlantic's must-see shows, including Billions, and get a free TV when you join Sky from £20 a month. Hurry, offer ends Thursday. Search Sky Bundles. Sky, believe in better.
Direct debit subject to status. Upfront £10 standard setup. Minimum contract and further terms apply.
Life is full of deadlines. The deadline for that job application. The deadline for your tax return. And now, the Financial Conduct Authority is thinking about imposing a deadline for claiming missold PPI. So time could be running out for you to claim. Let PPI Claimback do most of the work for you. We can check whether you've had PPI. If you haven't, it won't cost you a penny. Text PPI to 80039. That's PPI to 80039.
Talk Radio Traffic and Travel.
In South Yorkshire, there's still one lane closed because of a broken down lorry southbound between 33 at Catcliffe and 32 for the M18. Now, the M1 southbound in Buckinghamshire, 7 miles of queuing traffic after an accident involving two lorries between 14 and 13 near Milton Keynes. Northbound traffic is also slow with onlookers. And you will find queues still on the westbound M4 through Berkshire between junctions 6 and 7 near Slough. And the outside lane remains closed off as barrier repair work continues. I'm Jamie Sercombe.
The Peugeot 308. Powerful profile. Sleek lines. Really? Is this how we're supposed to choose a car? What if we based our decision on what the car is actually like to drive? Not just a quick spin around the block, but a 48-hour test drive. Remember, you buy the image, but you fall in love with the detail. Peugeot 308. Confidence built in. Arrange a 48-hour test drive at peugeot.co.uk. Participating dealers only. Conditions apply.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast, tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio. And now for something cold, flakily different. Satisfy your appetite for meaty news debate and unfiltered comments on The Breakfast Show with Extra Bite.
I'm Paul Ross. Join me from 6 on Talk Radio. If it's on your mind, get it on the radio.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast. Make toast, not war.
Tomorrow morning from 6
on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
It's Jake Yap in for John Holmes. It's TV Club, and we've pretty much rinsed Emmerdale there. So it's 35 years of broadcasting history demolished in about 8 minutes. Also on last night, it was the inaugural episode of the new series of Big Brother, and wow, what can I say? What a show! What an awful show! what did you make of it? Are you a fan of Big Brother?
No, so I don't think Big Brother has been good for years and years and years. I reckon probably sort of the Mikosi year.
The Mikosi.
Yeah,
you have been evicted. No, I remember Mikosi.
Yeah, Mikosi, Eugene, Orla, I think was that series. But I haven't watched it since. I watched it, obviously, yesterday.
Instead of going to a barbecue, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, instead I had to stay in. Okay. And it was awful.
It was pretty dire, wasn't it?
How long did you last? Like, because it's a 3-hour show.
I did like an hour and 35 minutes, and after that, it's like with all of these things, it's sort of like eating junk food. The first mouthful is sublime, or drinking wine, you know, that first mouthful, you kind of go but then, like, after a while you're like, I can't take any more of this is actually,
I disagree,
this is actually making me feel sick.
Wine would have made that better.
Oh, I was drinking when I was watching it. I think you had to.
Yeah, that's, yeah, okay, well, did you enjoy it, Cass?
No, I didn't. I remember the very first Big Brother, like before Cornelius was born.
No, it's Craig won it, I remember.
Craig!
There you go. That's the only response you can have to that.
And I remember it being vaguely interesting. It was, you know, something new, and it was before you had like 300 channels and catch-up and YouTube and all those things.
Well, the thing was then that people were going into it not knowing what the outcome would be.
Yeah.
It was genuinely an experiment. And every subsequent series, people knew that, like, stars were born in that environment.
Please,
you know,
use the word time that stars,
you know,
loosely.
What I'm saying, you could get a career out of it, like something could. And so everyone who went in that kind of knowing way, where they were trying to sort of carve a bit of a personality out for themselves to get work when they came out. And so it was never the same again after that first series. And it's almost like it's like It's like a distillery. It's like they purified and refined the product so much that there's such a specific demographic of the people that they put in the house now.
Mentals.
That were... don't know. But adjutants, certainly. People who are just... They were all pretty much the same. They are pretty much all psychologically damaged, major issues.
Some of them were sort of, semi-celebrity, but people that were known, like the first guy with the...
Marco.
Man Bun and Cardigan, I called him.
Okay.
You can't describe yourself as a wild child with a man bun whilst wearing a cardigan.
That's how wild he is, that he doesn't even have to do the wild child thing.
But he's like, he's a son of someone that's famous.
Oh, is he?
A hairdresser?
Marco Pierre White? Yeah. He's not, is he?
I think so, yeah.
I have to find this out.
Should he not be in Z-list Celebrity Big Brother? I don't know what they're doing.
I have to find this out. I'm sorry. We have stopped the show. It's a stop. It's Marco Pierre White Jr.
Yeah, that's the one.
Marco Pierre White's a chef,
joking,
isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, not a hairdresser, he's a chef.
Did you say hairdresser?
Well, they're all the same, aren't they?
Marco Pierre White. You know, the secret to good cooking is a good stock. I always, whenever I look at him, I just feel like he's just smoked a roll up.
And judging
when you look at him, you know what I mean? He just looks like he smells a fag. Do you know what I mean? He just smells like it. You can see it in him. They did those really weird adverts where he's like, taste this turkey. It's the most incredible turkey you've ever tasted, isn't it? And there was someone else sitting there going, yeah, it is. It was like Tony Hadley or someone. It was Tony Hadley out of Spandau Ballet. Am I going crazy? It was.
Did you dream this? Are you making stuff up?
It was a really vivid dream. Hang on, that was Tony Hadley. Was it Tony Hadley? No,
who was it?
You're making it up.
Oh, come on.
But, yeah, so, like, these...
Yeah, sorry, you carry on talking. No, you don't have to talk. People will sit, they'll wait. You know, they're with us. No, go on.
I was just thinking that we were an absolute... But basically, these people go in there, the little VTs, the, like, videotape things that they do with them, are all, like, edited down. So they'll talk to them for, like, 4 hours or something. Mm. Yeah. And then they'll just take the most horrific parts of that person. Like the third one that came out, the model woman who describes herself as an international baller. I don't even know what that means. Mm. And then putting something out there that says, I walk into a room and I can have any man I want. Like, of course you're immediately going to be hated.
Yeah.
So it infuriates me on so many different levels.
No, I know what you're saying. Is that thing where they film them, they must film them for like 18 hours, I reckon, just to do the little bit so that, you know, they say, hey everyone, let's meet our next housemate, and then they go to the little pre-recorded bit and it's a little interview where they say, I am crazy, I will do anything. And it is, I think they keep filming them until you know, they're bored to the point of tears. It's almost like interrogating someone where they will say anything just to be allowed out of that studio. And then they take those bits, the really mad bits that they've said.
I disagree with what you're both saying. I think those VTs are filmed in a really short time because these people are going on, they want to be famous, but they know exactly the type of people that Big Brother want. So, you know, they want the outlandish, they want the bitchy people. So they come on and they just, I reckon they sit on that stool surrounded by balloons and just reel off these sound bites, because that's all it is. It's just sound bite sentences. They know exactly what they're there
for. But they
don't
know which character they're supposed to portray.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Let's have a little rundown of the housemates that I could take. I'll tell you what, let's have a clip first. Should we listen to the clip? Let's listen to the clip. Here it is.
Laura, you must now stand in the target and face your housemates.
Laura.
Who's Laura?
Sexy.
Oh, right, Laura.
Come on, sexy.
Girl. Laura,
you look glistening, man.
You chose sexy as the word that best describes you.
Yes.
All day.
You have now been targeted because of this decision.
Ooh.
As a result, you are now nominated for eviction.
Oh no!
Really?
But that is not all. Laura, you must now nominate one of your fellow housemates. Who will join you in facing eviction.
There you go. Well, what a twist that was. What a surprise twist that was.
At the end. So
ripping.
I tuned in again at the end just to see how it ended.
I thought the twist was going to be that one of them had had an explosive device implanted in their body. But no, it was just about evictions.
What I'd like to see is a big launch show where they put one housemate in and then just leave them in there for 3 months. Just on their own. You know, it's just normal Big Brother, and they have to do all the tasks and stuff, but they have absolutely no one to talk to, no one to fall out with.
See, I was going to say slightly the opposite, that they don't even have the diary room. Nobody speaks to them. They're just left in there to think that, oh my God, I've been put in here, and nobody's speaking to me. Nobody's like, what do I do for food? And it's like Castaway.
Yeah.
In Big Brother.
Well, what was so nice was to see that it was so multi-generational. It was great. They had that 70-year-old woman there, and there was that guy in the wheelchair. Oh, no, wait! They were all just young, messed-up idiots who might mate with each other. They were morons. I'll take you through the ones that I could stomach, right, very quickly. You got... there were twins... Jedwina, I'm calling them, Victoria and Emma, or Vicar, I don't know. There was Andy, who was a former BBC reporter, who was like a conscientious objector. There was Laura, the fun-loving one who could have anyone in a club.
These are the ones that you can
use it, but using the same music that Penny Smith uses on her breakfast show on Saturdays on Talk Radio.
Birds?
Have you ever seen them in the same room?
I'm just saying, it's interesting. There was Alex, who said he was shaking like a dog. He was a Scouse underwear model. There was Letitia, a Welsh girl who says, I really kick off. I always really kick off. And I believe her. Then there were the others in a second house, and that was a little bit weird. Then there was Evelyn from Australia, who basically said, I'm crazy and I just punch people for no reason. There was Sam from Blackpool, who says, I'm the best looking man. But he was just like the sweatiest looking man. He had like a beard and five layers on. There was Georgina from Kent, who said, you don't have to have money to have horses. Do I sound like a snob saying that? Yes, you do. And then there was Jackson, who he was a legend. Oh, he's cheeky, though. Oh, Jackson was cheeky. And then finally there was Chelsea, who drives a convertible Bentley and says, obviously, I'm the governor. And they got to say loads of money. And you think, how much are you dying inside now when you know, you got some little producer director saying, can you just like say loads of money, please? Loads of money. So, please, can I get out of the studio now? Please. No, not yet. He's got Playmobil hair circa 1971.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, amazing. Weird people. We never found out who Marco Pierre was. Who did he cook for in that advert for turkey?
Am I going to have to go find this out for you? Will it send you mad? Will your inner completionist not allow you to sleep?
Yeah, I'm afraid I can't handle it. All right, we will leave it there. We've got coming up hipster news. How very right for Big Brother with Emily the Work Experience. After we catch up with the latest news headlines with Victoria Bourne.
Talk Radio.
Ministers have been told the result of the EU referendum could be challenged in the courts if emergency laws are used to extend registration. Senior Conservative MP Bernard Jenkins says the legislation would make Britain look like an absolute shambles. David Cameron has addressed the issue of the website crashing before last night's deadline in the Commons.
The Electoral Commission have made a statement this morning urging the government to consider options that would effectively extend the deadline, and these should include legislative options, and we're doing that and discussing it with the Electoral Commission today. So we're working urgently with them to do just that and to make sure those who registered today and who registered last night will be able to vote in the EU referendum.
A man with a history of psychosis has been found guilty of trying to murder a stranger at a London tube station. His GP had referred him to mental health services a month before the attack in Leytonstone. The man who bought BHS for £1 last year before it collapsed claims he did everything he could to save the company. Dominic Chappelle has been giving evidence to MPs where he's been accused of giving death threats to an ex-boss of the department store chain. A safari park where a keeper was killed by a tiger has admitted it breached health and safety laws. A 24-year-old worker was pounced on at South Lakes Wild Animal Park in May 2013. And bookmakers are offering odds of 50-1 that Prince Harry will propose to singer Ellie Goulding after tabloid stories that they're dating. Kensington Palace won't comment on the speculation following reports they were seen kissing during a polo match in Berkshire last month. The weather, lots of sunny spells, but heavy showers are likely to develop this afternoon, mainly in northwest of England and Wales and the southeast of England. Highs of 25 degrees is more in half an hour.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Mid-mornings with Julia Hartley Brewer. Join the Fleet Street firebrand who isn't afraid to shoot from the lip.
I'll be talking about all the biggest stories. If you're talking about them, so are we. But we'll get behind the headlines, talk to the biggest guests and those politicians, just so you don't have to.
Julia Hartley Brewer.
Tomorrow morning from 10.
On Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Oh, didn't it? Yeah. It's good, isn't it? I suddenly went like, you know, like sometimes with people who aren't used to wearing headphones, like the people before the Walkman generation.
Yes.
Who aren't used to wearing headphones, and you give them headphones, they go, it's good! It's very good! Yeah, I know, sorry, but it's not on in the room. Anyway, let me just hit you with some of this, shall I? Kill the bed! Let me hit you with this.
So he came round and he did the whole tour.
So tell me, Martin, do you cook much at home?
I'm more of a restaurant man.
A little like myself.
Yeah.
But what I cook for your lunch today,
it was Martin Kemp, not Tony Hadley.
Perfect joint.
Turkey. What is it, Christmas?
Turkey is one of those meats which you can eat every day of the year. It's really good. And when you think, less fat, great flavour.
That is absolutely delicious, really moist. When I have it at home, it's a lot drier than this.
It's never the turkey. It's always the cook.
So what, are you having a go at my wife?
No. I'm a very big fan of turkey. And I always have been.
Marco, enough turkey. Let's talk football.
Yes!
You were right.
Brought it to life. I knew it was someone out of Spandau Ballet. Anyway, that would have been hammering away in my head for the rest of the show if I hadn't got that out. It's like squeezing a spot. I was going to say, speaking of which, it's time for a work experience person. It's time for a work. Look, John Holmes regularly exploits the young. It's work experience reviews. They do film reviews and TV reviews, but it being Celebrity Wednesday, we've got Emily along. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm looking forward to John Holmes coming back tomorrow. Do you know, it's really weird. I've been missing John's show.
Really?
I was like, I miss the big debate. I miss all these things.
I haven't. Prefer this one.
You never get to sit back and enjoy it, you see.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Emily, thank you for...
I'm not yawning.
Wow. This is the problem, you see. We asked you to do hipster news, and you've channeled them now.
Come on.
You're sitting there like, oh, this is so dry. I wish we were in a gothic bar.
A gothic bar.
I don't know. What have you got to hit us with?
Oh, I've got lots today.
Have you?
Okay, I'm going to start it out with adult coloring books. Have you heard of them?
They're called like mandalas or something,
what?
Aren't they?
Mandala? Oh yeah, there's like the flowers, like, yeah. But you can do that. But so there's these clubs that are just adult coloring book clubs. So like every month you meet up and you just color with your friends. But they're in like libraries.
Uh-huh.
And yeah,
so they're not bars?
No, they're not at bars. They're in libraries. And it's supposed to be release your inner zen and color with your friends.
It's so hard not to go over the lines, though, you see, if you're drunk. That's why you can't do it in a bar.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want to ruin it.
But the thing is that I'm like, okay, this is great. I like to color, right? But these coloring books are wicked expensive. They're like £20 for a coloring book. Why would someone...
Do you know what you... In Poundland, you can... Listen, I know these things. Wow. I mean, how, when you say adult colouring books, you just mean complex rather than suggestive.
Yes. But genuinely, they look like I can print the same stuff off the internet for $0.
Okay.
Pounds.
I should make the point that there are plenty of other shops selling things for about £1 available. There's loads of them. Loads of them. Wow. And is this catching on, or is this just happening in one place in Shoreditch?
No, it's catching on. It's all over the place. My mum's really obsessed with them, actually, back home. She loves
it. Toronto. Where are you?
Come on. Edmonton,
idiots.
Other side
North
of Canada.
East London. All right, then. that went well.
But she's had like nights with her friends where they all just color, and I'm like, that's so weird.
Really?
What are you doing? I get home, like, why are you coloring?
Do you use crayons, felt tips, or pencils?
You can mix it up.
No, you can't.
You can't use crayons.
It depends what kind of like picture you have.
See, you're getting into it now.
Yeah,
so
because if it's something like it's really in depth, like you want to use pencil crayons, maybe, right? If you have more space, then use the markers. Come on.
You're way too invested in this.
I would join one. I think I would. I wouldn't spend that much money on a coloring book, but I do like coloring.
Okay. Well, it's not long till Christmas. What else have you got for us?
Okay, I read about this one. There's a salad bar that opened in an old telephone booth. Have you heard about this? So this old lawyer, he's a part-time lawyer that used to set up just like pop-up stalls like in Shoreditch
because
and stuff.
Because he can afford to.
Yeah, exactly. So he set up this salad bar. But the thing is, they don't actually sell salad. He calls it a salad bar, but there's no lettuce there. So it's everything else but lettuce. But yeah, it's in an old telephone booth. And he like, there's, I guess, a fridge at the bottom. And you can just pick what you want in it. And he just like opens the telephone booth door. And it's in Bloomsbury.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bloomsbury Square.
The problem is, I know what people used to do in phone boxes. And you're not going to get any kind of hygiene certification for serving food in there, are you?
Well, I guess he got it.
Wow.
Yeah, but he's like going hard. Yeah, he's been doing this for, I think, like a month or two now, and he says it's great business.
Yeah, he could probably do with more seating.
I've just got a picture here. So what it is he's just put a fridge in a telephone box.
Yeah.
That is literally all he's done, isn't
it?
Okay.
I thought it was like a sort of TARDIS situation where you all go into the telephone box.
Oh, how would people fit in there? No, well, it just
sort of the legend of the TARDIS there. But he has just whacked a fridge in a telephone box and not put lettuce in it.
See, this is the problem. It's like you always get ex-city bankers who sort of say, hey, I've got this crazy idea and I'm going to do it. And the trouble is they've all got the money to do it. That's why you've got all this daft crud everywhere. It's because all these city bankers, they make a fortune in the city and then they sort of retire and go, oh, what should we? Oh, I've always thought it'd be fun to have a candy floss bar or something. Well, let's just do it then, because like, and they've got this money to fritter away on it.
Why wouldn't he have like lettuce there? Why is he calling it a salad bar if there's no lettuce? I don't get that. Kind of gets me angry.
He's lettucist. You know, that's discrimination.
It is. I'm angry, but yeah.
I can tell. We've got more stuff, more hipster stuff, which I'm sure will be equally as disgusting after we catch up with the latest traffic and travel.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A new kind of talk radio. We'll get you talking.
Hi there, I'm James Martin. I don't usually do Wednesdays, but this summer I'm working with Asda to answer your everyday meal questions. How can I help you, Kelly?
Hi, James. I've got some school mums coming over for lunch tomorrow, so I need something quick but impressive. Any thoughts?
Crunchy cauliflower couscous is perfect. Whiz up a cauliflower in a food processor and add pomegranate, apricots, spring onion, fresh herbs and some flaked almonds and pistachios from Asda's Good and Balanced range.
Yeah.
For the dressing, maple syrup, white wine vinegar and a bit of curry powder, and you've got a fabulous summer dish.
That sounds incredible.
It is, and if you want to try it at home, visit asda.com/James Martin for all the details.
Selected stores subject to availability.
It's a beautiful thing when little things come together. Life is in the details. The new Volvo V40R design with adaptive digital display, Thor hammer headlights and 17-inch diamond cut alloys. Now all this and more from just £259 a month, including maintenance, with Volvo car leasing, with an initial rental of £259.
4-year contract hire agreement offer ends June 30th, subject to status. Mileage and return conditions apply. Optional maintenance covers routine servicing, tyres, replacement parts and repairs due to fair wear and tear. Visit volvocars.co.uk for more details.
Book a test drive today at your nearest Volvo showroom.
Slow 5, what do you think of these new flavours from Burton's Fish and Chips?
Well, Ian, they've been fantastic. They've got a strong lineup with salt and vinegar, pickled onion and curry sauce flavours. But the question is, who'll complete the squad? Yes, Ian, red sauce is full of flavour and strong in the crunch, but brown sauce has plenty of bite and a big bold taste.
You decide which one of these great new flavours will make the final squad on July the 1st. Burton's Fish and Chips kicks hunger into the back of the net.
Still thinking about the cauliflower couscous with pomegranate? All those nuts and fresh herbs and that dressing? Well, it's not just for Kelly. Now you can have it too, because Asda's pomegranate seeds are just £1 a pack. You can get all these ingredients at Asda, as well as the full recipe at asda.com/James Martin.
Selected stores subject to availability. 80 grams.
Talk radio, traffic and travel.
In South Yorkshire, there's still one lane closed because of a broken down lorry southbound between 33 at Catcliffe and 32 for the M18. Now, the M1 southbound in Buckinghamshire, 7 miles of queuing traffic after an accident involving two lorries between 14 and 13 near Milton Keynes. Northbound traffic is also slow with onlookers. And you will find queues still on the westbound M4 through Berkshire between junctions 6 and 7 near Slough. And the outside lane remains closed off as barrier repair work continues. I'm Jamie Sercombe.
across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Delaney, live at Drive. Get the full service and parts experience with essential debate, big name guests and a truckload of topical emissions.
Traffic stopping, drive time entertainment with me, Sam Delaney.
Delicious, de-groovy, de-lovely, Delaney.
Stop. Look, listen to Sam Delaney.
Get involved.
This afternoon from 4.
On Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Well, obviously, I can't speak for where you are because I don't know, but I can tell you in central London, it is raining on a sort of biblical scale. And there are men playing football out there.
Also, my flatmates just got in touch with me. He said, you left your window above your bed open today. It's a skylight. It's one of those
windows
in the ceiling. Bang above my bed. It is just open. And so now it is biblically raining on my bed.
He didn't close it?
No. Oh, no. He said, no, I didn't think it was going to rain today. It's always close them. I mean, I know I didn't.
Well, yeah, why did you have it open in the first place? You should have shut it.
Hindsight.
You could almost be a hipster. it's a waterbed. Anyway, so we're doing hipster reviews with Emily, the work experience. And what do you got for us next?
Okay, this one's from personal experience, okay?
Okay.
So last week I was walking along South Bank.
Okay.
And have you seen
in
this?
London. In London.
Yes. Have you seen street poets?
Oh God.
Yeah.
Okay.
So basically you can pay whatever you want. And there's guys just sitting there with typewriters. And they write you a poem.
Oh, God.
So I was, you know what, I didn't do it, but I was really tempted. I was so close to doing it.
Remind me of your surname?
Cinchina.
You see, you should have gone in and said, can you write a poem about me?
Yeah, I should
have. Using my full name at the end of the first line.
I should have, but yeah. No, there was people lined up to get them done.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and they had typewriters. I don't even know why they needed the typewriters. But
add to it.
This is like the sort of modern evolution of the bloke. Do you mean, this doesn't happen anymore. You used to get blokes who'd sit there with like a bit of wire and some pliers, and they'd like bend the wire to make your name. Do you remember that?
No, yeah, I remember that.
That used to happen.
That used to cost me double for Cornelius. I had to get two wires.
Aww. But yeah, no, I didn't do it, but I was super tempted.
Oh, you should have done it.
I know.
Then you could have read it out. But
yeah, I could. You know, I'll go back.
How much were they charging for a poem? Then?
You can do whatever you want. Pay whatever you want. That's the thing.
Oh, that's even worse.
So the thing
that's
is
even
that
worse.
I was only going to give 25 pence, but then I kind of felt bad. So
exactly.
Does that not reflect on how good the poem is?
You have to pay first. So I think they...
What?
Yeah, so you pay first. So if I gave them £10, they're going to might write me a wicked poem. But if I give them 25 pence, they're going to be like...
It'll be a two-word poem.
It'll be
Emily Schmemily. That's all you get. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I think I actually want to go back, though. I think I'm going to get it.
See, this is the thing. Yesterday on the show, we were talking to Paul Mason about post-capitalism. And he was sort of saying that, artificial intelligence eventually is going to replace work for a lot of people. And what we need to do is find a way to have a society flourish without work, because there's not going to be much work that needs to be done. And this is the problem, is you're going to end up with people doing stuff like this. The whole world is going to be this morass of idiots doing bovine, stupid, self-indulgent nonsense.
You know what? What if the poems are really inspiring and great, though?
They won't be. What's next?
Okay, this is called the Junkyard Golf Club in Shoreditch. This is a thing. So basically, they made this indoor mini golf thing just made of rubbish. So we've gotten old washing machines, shopping carts, and just made a golf course with it. Old mannequins and stuff.
Oh, that's... Yeah.
So, that's a thing.
I might sort of be up for that because that's
basically... Why? Because that sounds so silly.
It's basically crazy golf.
No.
It is. It's like crazy... And I love crazy golf. I miss crazy golf.
That's just so lazy. It's like, ugh, why am I in here? This is silly. There's a mannequin next to me just like, why? This is just stupid.
You actually managed to convey your eye rolls.
Yeah.
There. I have to congratulate you on that.
It's expensive too. It's $9.50 per person.
How do you feel about golf? Do you subscribe to the Mark Twain thing that it's
thing.
A good walk?
I'm really bad at golf, so I think that's a reason.
Ah, okay. Mark Twain calls it a good walk ruined. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. I've never played... I once thought it would be really funny to go and just get drunk and go. And there was a municipal golf course.
Hey, wait, are we talking full-on golf or mini golf?
Yeah, full-on.
This is
golf.
Mini golf.
You did mini golf?
Yeah.
Well, what's wrong with that? That's awesome.
Oh.
Cornelius, you've got a casting vote here.
I get stressed out in mini golf because I'm really competitive, and I'm like...
okay, well, that's a different...
Mini golf is a goer. It's good.
Yeah.
Sorry. So good. Sorry, everyone.
Let's all go.
yeah, but this is a thing. I guess when you get to the last room, it's a UV-coated neon room. But that's like everybody's excited to get to the UV-coated neon room at the end, the final stage.
That's like the bowling thing. Yeah, I've never really understood that.
Oh, bowling. Neon bowling?
Neon bowling.
I love
it.
That.
Really?
Yeah, it's really funky.
Funky.
Yeah, it makes like... Although it makes regular bowling alleys look really rubbish.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
I once went evening bowling, and well, there's a sort of theme emerging in terms of everything we've talked about in the last 20 minutes, and please drink responsibly, but I went, and it was like a friend of a friend's birthday party thing, and he was like this quite big shot in like the movie industry, and I think the sort of tension of that got to us a bit. So I got really drunk, and me and my friend were there, and obviously it was his sort of friend that we were there, and we were just off our heads drunk and didn't really care. And I didn't mean to do this, but so you had like the bowling lanes, yeah. And immediately behind them, like tables in the bar. And I was so drunk that I went to bowl my ball. I thought, I'm really going to give it. Here we go. One, two, three. Oh. And it slipped out of my hand on the backswing. What I basically did was I threw this bowling ball behind me into the ankles of everyone at the bar.
Oh my god, did it hurt anybody? Like, was everybody okay?
It was okay, but...
Did you damage anything? Yeah.
Knock everyone down. Yeah.
I did not win the bowling, so...
That's hilarious.
But I liked the idea. I wanted to go and do drunk golf, so we went to the... Like, there was like a municipal golf course. It was like £3 to do a round of golf, and I went with my friend to go and do it, but... Very naively went there at like, I don't know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon in late autumn. And the bloke was like, you can't do it now. I was like, why not? He was like, you won't possibly have time.
I didn't realize.
And I thought, it was like 45 minutes, you know, half an hour, I don't know. And it's like the day.
Yeah, it's like 8 hours or something like that.
That's just cool. The way I do it, it would be like 4 days. But and finally, Emily, what have you got for
okay,
us?
Okay. I'm guilty of this one. So I was looking up like hipster clothing trends of 2016.
For work purposes.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course.
Yeah, so basically jeans with rips in the knees. Just slits.
Oh, that's back, is it?
Yeah, it's back.
I can't keep... That changes like monthly, doesn't it?
No.
I can't keep up with it.
No, these ones are in right now. I looked it up. It's obviously true.
Amazing. Is it a single rip or
single
many...
rip. You can do it yourself, or you can buy them like that. I've done them myself. I wanted to be a little edgy, so a pair of scissors, watch out.
Fell off your skateboard. Or,
yeah.
Wow. Okay, single rip jeans.
Single. Just one slit.
It's got to be a single. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So all those people with... So people with intact jeans, like my jeans, look.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, no, not going to work out.
Well, they're perfect candidates, right?
Yeah, I could cut them for you if you want.
How much?
Pound.
I see. You haven't embraced the world of the hipster. You should have been saying like 45 quid because I do it with like a Peruvian knife.
It has to be Peruvian.
Yeah, it's a Peruvian rip. I've got Peruvian rip. but it's all the people with the multi-rip jeans now who should just go home in shame.
Yeah, I look at them and I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, short of darning, they cannot rescue.
Yeah, but I started a career in high school where I would cut people's like jeans for them and stuff.
Or threatened to,
unless they gave you their dinner money. All right.
Yeah, but I'm...
Did you
I'm
really start that out?
Yeah, no joke. This is for real.
How much money did you make?
No one paid me.
£1. Yeah.
No, I was mad. No one paid me. I was like, okay, we're not friends anymore. Then I screwed up their jeans. Wow. And I just made them really ugly.
That's a heartwarming story. Have Disney acquired
but
the
But if
rights?
You give me £1, they'll be great. Great shape. Everybody will be looking at you in the streets, be like, oh my God.
How much do I have to give you not... to rip my jeans. That's
come on. Don't you want to be cool and edgy?
No, I let go of any hope of that at 14. there was no chance. By 14, I knew my fate was sealed and I was never going to be the cool one.
There's, you know what?
I've managed to get myself up to nondescript. You know what I mean? So people don't actually look in the wrong way. You know, I've got to like neutral and I'm quite happy there. You know, I'm happy with neutral. Speaking of people looking at you, Emily, obviously you're from Edmonton, as I well know and never forget.
Thank you. Good work.
And not Toronto. Now, last week we talked and you gave us a hipster news roundup.
Yes.
And you told us that some of your friends were listening in Canada.
Yeah.
Are they listening this week?
I think my parents are.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm. Yeah, I think they are. But it's quite early for them still, so I hope they are. I hope they didn't fall asleep.
This is breakfast radio over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, I think it's like 8 in the morning there, or maybe 7.
Well, since you don't Skype us, I guess we'll have to make do with listening to you on the radio, Emily.
That's exactly how they sound,
too. I feel
very British.
That's really, really accurate.
I was just thinking about, I did a thing, do you remember like 2 or 3 years ago, like doing the rounds all the time online and on Facebook and stuff, people like, this guy does 10 accents in 2 minutes and they are incredible.
I loved those videos.
And stuff. I did one of those.
Can you do a Canadian accent?
Can I play a bit?
Yeah, play it. Go ahead.
If I can. I made up a character. It was really fun to do because... I said, you know, the British guy does 10 accents in 2 minutes and nails it. Because they all said nails it. And I called myself a different name. It's all right, Cornelius. There's no swearing. Well, there's swearing at the end, but I'll stop it before the swearing.
Okay, cool,
I promise you. So anyway, I didn't realize what a gift this was going to be. This is the gift that has never failed to give. Because the comments underneath are so much more entertaining than the piece. Here's a bit of it, okay?
Hi, guys. I'm Michael Pice. I'm a professional dialect coach to the British movie industry. And I just thought I'd take you through a whistle-stop tour of the accents you find right the way across the US of A. So let's start over in Boston. Hey, this is the Boston accent. It's completely yarnark. Moving across to Chicago. Hey, I'm from Chicago. It's the Windy City. We've got some great lakes up here. Chicago. Hey, what a trip across the border. I fed a goot some oots in a boot that wouldn't flute. LA. Oh, I'm so a valley girl. Cowabunga, dude. Surf's up. Party on. Awesome. Let's drop down south now and look at the rich diversity of accents in the southern states, Texas. Well, shoot, that's a big old mess of oil, y'all. Louisiana. Well, shoot, that's a big old mess of gumbo, y'all. Arkansas. Well, shoot, that's a big old mess of grits. Let's do Grimesland, North Carolina. Restrooms are through there. I didn't spend much time there. New Jersey.
It goes on and then it gets a bit sweary. But the best thing about it was the comments underneath were incredible.
I'm sure they were all very mild-mannered.
G.W. Rogero says, wow, really bad. Poor American accents with a superimposed British accent over the top. Fire the coach. Somebody said, they need to find a new dialect coach. This guy suck. I can't read that. It just goes on. Honestly, it's worth reading the comments. So if you search for Jake Yap and accents, it'll probably show up. So that's presumably how your parents talk.
Yeah,
it's
exact. No, I'm not from the States. Actually, they did a
Canadian
one.
No, I did Canada.
That was terrible, though. I've never said that in my life.
No, of course you haven't. No, they don't say boot. They say...
About. I say about.
Exactly, like what you said. is that guy listening?
What?
The guy in the band.
I don't know. Maybe, I don't
the
know.
The one you fancy.
She likes him.
She just has a little crush.
A little shrine in your bedroom.
Is he listening?
I don't know. Maybe.
Did you cut all the eyes out of all the photos of him? Because that's the best way to get.
Why would I cut the eyes out?
Because then he'll love you forever. Because you've captured his soul.
Is that a tattoo of him you've got on your arm? There?
Yeah. Did you do it with a compass? Because it sort of looks like a guy whose face has melted a bit.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, Emily, you're so lovely. Thank you very much for being such a good sport. And are you back next week?
If you invite me back.
Well, I don't have any say in it because I'm effectively fired after this show. if people want to follow you on Twitter, do the social media
exciting.
Thing?
Exciting.
Yeah, give yourself a
Okay, it's my last name, but shortened. So it's S-E-N-C-H-E-N-N. So it's Senchen.
Say it again.
Very radio.
Very slowly.
S-E-N-C-H-E-N-N.
N. Got it. Thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome.
It's been lovely to have you on and learn about hipster stuff. We're going to be putting Noel Edmonds on trial. Not really, in a very spurious, silly sort of way. After we catch up with the latest news.
Talk Radio. Listen. Phone. Talk.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Time is pretty precious when you're Ryan Reynolds. I drink all my meals. And I only have friends with really short names. Hey, Jay.
What's up?
That's why I've got BT Infinity. It now offers speeds of up to 52 megabits per second. The fastest standard fiber speeds. I also don't have time for underwear. I'm going commando right now.
BT Infinity. Fast just got faster. Visit bt.com/infinity to find out more.
83% UK coverage, £49 activation and £7.95 hub delivery. Comparison versus standard entry-level fiber products of major broadband providers. Up to speeds depending on time of day, line and location.
Blue Circle Master Creek, 25 kilograms, just £3.94 a bag. Always everyday low prices at Trade Point. Excludes VAT at 20%. Trade on.
I'm going to be supporting Armed Forces Day because I see the work our boys and girls are doing around the world and I really want to show my support.
I'll be supporting Armed Forces Day because I'm proud of what my granddad did in the war.
I'm supporting Armed Forces Day because it protects our way of life and I want them to be there to look after my grandchildren.
Armed Forces Day is Saturday the 25th of June. There are events going on all over the country. Take part and show your support for our armed forces, past and present. Find out more at armedforcesday.org.uk.
Come on, lads! Oh, God, better take this. Hello! Hello! Oi, pipe down, you lot. I'm on a business call. Cheers. Hello?
With eReceptionist, all calls are answered and can be diverted to a colleague to suit your schedule. So with eReceptionist on your side, you'll never miss a business call. Or the game, for that matter. For a free 30-day trial, head to ereceptionist.co.uk. Usage conditions apply. Cancel any time within 30 days.
Come on!
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. For those about to talk, we salute you. Talk Radio.
It is indeed, and it's time to catch up with the latest news headlines with Victoria Bourne.
Thanks, Jay. Coming up, the EU vote legislation is rushed through. An IS-inspired man's found guilty of attempting to behead a stranger. And thousands of Vodafone customers have problems.
Talk Radio.
The government will rush through legislation to extend the deadline for registering to vote in the EU referendum. The website crashed last night following a surge in demand. Katie Ghose is from the Electoral Reform Society.
This isn't about the Leave side or the Remain side having more votes on any one side or another. It's about democracy. It's about as many people as possible having their say on the 23rd of June.
A man who tried to copy the killers of Fusilier Lee Rigby has been found guilty of attempting to murder a stranger at a London underground station. The court heard 38-year-old Mahadin Meyer had a history of mental illness and wanted to behead a random person in Leytonstone in East London last December. Police Commander Dean Hayden says more needs to be done to stop at-risk people being caught up in terrorist ideologies.
Through their propaganda, they do prey on the vulnerable within our community. And as a result, we need to understand that better. We need to work with our partners, ultimately with a view to safeguarding and stopping people getting into terrorist acts.
MPs have been hearing claims former BHS owner Dominic Chappelle threatened to kill an executive.
He basically said, "Do not kick off about this, Darren. I've had enough of you telling me what to do over the last few months. It's my business. I can do what I want. And if you kick off about it, I'm going to come down there and kill you."
That's Darren Tarp, who was CEO at the collapsed retailer. The businessman who bought BHS for just £1 last year has been giving evidence to the committee himself as well. Mr. Chappelle has told MPs he could have saved the firm had previous owner Sir Philip Green helped him. A zoo where one of its keepers was mauled to death by a tiger has admitted breaching health and safety regulations. 24-year-old Sarah McClay died after she was pounced upon in a corridor for staff at South Lakes Wild Animal Park in Dalton-in-Furness in Cumbria 3 years ago. The military is going to help efforts to recover the bodies of three men who died when an old power station in Oxfordshire collapsed in February. The Ministry of Defence says it will provide equipment and personnel to bring the remaining structure at Didcot down safely. Last month, the company in charge of the site said it was too dangerous to continue efforts to find the men.
Vodafone customers are being urged to check their bills after thousands of problems were reported. Some of the complaints include direct debit issues and customers being put on the wrong tariff. Vodafone has apologised, saying it's investing significant resources into resolving the issues. And Olympic long jump champion Greg Rutherford has had his sperm frozen because of the threat of Zika at this summer's Games in Rio. The virus is linked to birth defects.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Sunny spells in places, but heavy showers will develop this afternoon, mainly in the northwest of England and Wales and the southeast of England. Highs of 25 degrees.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. England defender Chris Smalling has confirmed he has no injury concerns as preparations continue for Euro 2016. The Manchester United centre-back left training yesterday with strapping on his knee, but insists it's just part of his normal recovery process. Smalling says being a young squad should help for fitness at the tournament.
I think we've all individually come off a very successful sort of playing time and having a lot of games, and I think on the whole, all feeling pretty fresh and just excited to be a part of such a big occasion.
Meanwhile, Northern Ireland will continue to monitor Kyle Lafferty after he limped out of training yesterday. Manager Michael O'Neill believes Lafferty will be fit for their opening game against Poland on Sunday. Eric Bailly has become Jose Mourinho's first signing as Manchester United manager. The Ivory Coast defender joins on a four-year contract, subject to a work permit from Spanish side Villarreal. Finally, onto cricket. England captain Alistair Cook says an unchanged side will be named for the third and final test with Sri Lanka at Lord's. England have, of course, already won the three-match series. That's the latest sports news, powered by TalkSport.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon, chum. I'm Jake Yap, sitting in for John Holmes, who returns tomorrow. And hey, thanks very much, Kate, for your text. She's texted 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
To say, you've been a really good stand-in for John Holmes. That's nice, isn't it? And aww, she's sharing the love. I love Cornelius's infectious laugh. Yeah.
It's not the only thing about me that's in... Never mind.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's actually
everybody
it's an infected laugh. it's a big day tomorrow. John Holmes returns. The procession, is it at 12, the procession?
Yeah. Yes, it begins at 12, yeah.
There's already quite a few people camping by the barricades in the rain. So far today, we've talked to a Hollywood baddie who is also in Game of Thrones. We've had an exclusive listen to David Bowie, as you've never heard him before, kind of. And we've learned what the hipsters are doing nowadays, which will make hunting them easier. In a bit, we've got Fringe Award winner Rob Orton with his Lost and Found. And momentarily, we're putting Noel Edmonds in the dock in our Kangaroo Court, where you play the jury, ladies and gentlemen. And in fact, the poll, you don't have to hear the evidence, you don't have to hear the testimonies, you don't have to hear you can vote now on whether or not Noel Edmonds is guilty. The Twitter poll is live. It's at Jake Yap, JakeYapp. It's my real name. Or at Talk Radio, if you would like to cast your vote, jury member. First, though, we've got some bogus, spurious news. Daily Star, apparently. In fact, a couple of papers carried this.
That's that's a classic one, that is.
The one about Aldi's whiskey.
No, I meant the paper.
Oh, it's an absolute classic. Absolute classic. Their $12.99 own label whiskey beat Ball Blair 2005. Ball Blair. Chilcot. Which typically retails for £41.75 at the Spirits Business Awards.
I bought an awful lot of alcohol from Aldi and Lidl over the years, and it is much better.
Mm. I've got to say, I bought some alcohol in Aldi, and this was before Aldi was Aldi. I'm talking about 23 years ago, when nobody showed. There were like two Aldis, and they were both in like Salford. And I was up in Manchester. I was a student in Manchester for 12 weeks. I fled in terror, but I used to do my shopping in Aldi, and I memorized on the bottle of this stuff I bought. This alcohol, it was like drinking molten lead. I mean, their whiskey, apparently, you know, it's one of the best you can get now. They've hauled themselves up. But
they
back
win,
then...
They win wine awards as well.
I know, right? Yeah. So, but not back then.
No.
So they sold this thing. And, like, the wording, you could see, had to be so careful for all the kind of European regulations about what you can and can't say your product is. And it's... I memorised it. For 23 years, I've carried this pointless information in my head. It was a peach and orange flavoured, aromatised... wine product cocktail. That's the only way to get. You know, like you have to say. You know, like you have to say something's a juice drink because it's got added water and sugar in it.
Yeah.
It's not juice; it's a juice drink. It was the same. It was a peach and orange flavored aromatized wine product cocktail.
Was it delicious?
It was like drinking molten lead, but it got you there. It was amazing. So I'm sort of curious. I want to become one of those middle class people that says, "Oh, this Aldi chocolate's amazing." I actually do buy Aldi chocolate, and it is amazing. 69p.
I like the Pims there.
The Pims. What's it called? Pins.
No, it's called something like pitch or something like Bims. That, or summer drink, summer cup. I think
summer cup.
But yes, yeah, £6 for a litre or something. £7 for a litre of
just
it.
Don't confuse it with a moon cup. You're which is a very different.
You're looking at around £12 for a litre of the Sainsbury's stuff.
You've got a heavy Pims.
I could do a show on alcohol. It'd be excellent.
No, it would be awful.
I think you do most of your shows on alcohol, don't you? Yes. The only thing that gets you through it. The big story, though, today, and this was like the front page of the Daily Mirror, and it's been carried in a lot of papers. TV's Noel Edmonds, negative energy can give you cancer, apparently. Mr. Gobby, the story inside the Daily Mirror.
Was that a yours or a paper pun?
Oh, it was a paper pun. I can't pun on that level. I mean, you're talking about the finest punners in the country working the tablets.
That's why I questioned it, because I thought, that's not for
jerk. Absolutely not. Cancer experts last night laid into Noel Edmonds after his suggestion that a sufferer may have brought the disease on himself by being negative. The Deal or No Deal host stunned Vaughan Earl Norman by claiming on Twitter an electromagnetic pulse machine called EMP Pad can fight tumours. Vaughan 49 branded the £2,500 gadget quackery. And Edmonds replied by asking if he tried it. He added, "Scientific fact. Disease is caused by negative energy. Is it possible your ill health is caused by your negative attitude?" Which is pretty incredible. And then hashtag explore. And yeah, he tweeted this. And apparently he wasn't paid to do this. He tweeted a picture of this EMP box, which says, "A simple box that slows aging, reduces pain, lifts depression and stress, and tackles cancer." Yep, tackles cancer. Wow, what a guy. So we thought that what we should do is to put him in the dock.
In the dock.
Yes, it's our very own spurious kangaroo court. It has no basis. In fact, it carries no weight in terms of legality or even appropriateness. It's just a bit of fun for the kids, to be honest with you. We've had various things in the dock in the past. Yesterday, it was summer footwear. We've had... I don't know, who was the guy we had? We had someone, Piers Morgan we had in, didn't we? And it's your chance to play jury. You can vote on Twitter. It's at Jake Yab or at Talk Radio. There's a poll that's live. There's about another 10 minutes you've got to get online and vote. I suppose what we should do now is call the counsel for the prosecution.
Call the counsel for the prosecution. Call the counsel for the prosecution. Call the counsel for the prosecution. Call the counsel for the prosecution.
Call the counsel for the prosecution.
Call the counsel for the prosecution.
Here he comes. It's, is it you? Okay. It's Talk Radio's very own Gerry Nel. It's Cornelius. Tell us, please. What's your case
your,
for the prosecution?
Your Honour, Your Majesty, Your Highness,
manners.
The jury. We, the counsel for the prosecution, are accusing TV's Noel Edmonds of inciting terrorism. yes, Noel Edmonds told a cancer sufferer on Twitter that it was possible that their cancer was caused by their negative attitude. If this was true, every teenager in the world would be gravely ill. We believe that Edmonds' comments are inciting terrorism. All you have to do is look at the internet. His words have led to Twitter blowing up. We have long suspected Noel Edmonds of being associated with terrorism for a number of reasons.
Oh, God.
Firstly...
Stand by with the dump button, everybody.
He has a beard.
Oh, objection.
Yes.
Objection.
Objection. What's the relevance? Is that your objection?
I put it to the prosecution that the judge has a beard. Sparse as it is.
That's because I this show is so grueling. I now see what John Holmes goes through. I have not had time to groom this week.
So you've turned to terrorism.
That's the only way forward. Because at least when you're in ISIS, you don't have to, like, shave.
That's
saves
not,
time. You know, it's hard work, but it saves time.
Not all of them, because some of them are women and they don't grow a beard.
But they don't shave.
that you know of.
Let's move on.
Overruled. Carry on.
Secondly, he wants to take over the whole world just like a terrorist. Remember when he tried to buy the BBC? That was just a start. Also, have you seen this EMP pad that he tweeted? It looks like an Amstrad emailer gone wrong. He loves it so much. He could, but it could look like easily. It could easily be a bomb from the future, if you ask me. Just a disclaimer: it is not a bomb.
objection.
And we should make the point that the company also strove to dissociate themselves from this. They said,
"Hang on, who are you helping?"
From getting sued. I'm just saying that the EMP pad manufacturer said that they were not aware of and didn't have control of the tweet, and that as such, it's not an ad for the purposes of their product. They do not make the claim that therapy can prevent cancer. The opinions of Mr. Edmonds are his alone and do not reflect ours. Carry on. Broke your flow there, sorry.
It's all right. Okay, so also, terrorists famously go bang. Just like he keeps banging on about this machine.
Oh my god.
But it's not just this EMP pad thing. His whole career has incited terrorism. He managed to radicalise Mr. Blobby. Before he was on telly, Blobby was a mild-mannered scholar of an alien. Yet Edmonds turned him into some blob-based fundamentalist.
Objection. How do you know he's an alien?
He's an alien, famously.
Is he?
Is he?
Yeah, is he?
Is he? Are you making that up? You are making that up.
I was pretty sure he was an alien.
I'll have a look. Carry on.
Well, where did he come from then?
I don't know. Blob World. Blob World or something.
I think that does ring a bell, you know. I don't know. Carry on.
This
and
is a very minor point. to sum up, Noel Edmonds is a dangerous man who is gaining a big following of pilgrims to Deal or No Deal. He desperately wants to divide the West and East wings. of Deal or No Deal. That's a Deal or No Deal joke.
I don't watch it. I don't care.
Noel's middle name is Ernest, but if we're being earnest, we believe he is guilty.
Thank you very much indeed, the counsel for the prosecution there, for making their case so frighteningly well.
Objection.
Go on.
You can't say that.
I'm sure you'll do very well as well. I'm not trying to be prejudicial to the... Order! It's my go. Let's have the council... Hang on, we need to
Have you found out if he's an alien yet?
No, I couldn't find it anyway. Let's call the council for the defence.
Call the council for the defence. Call the council for the defence. Call the council for the defence.
Call the council for the defence.
Call the council for the defence. You're the council for the defence.
Yes, it's the Barry Roux of talk radio. It's Cass.
I'm not coming on to that. That's rude.
What's wrong with being Barry Roux?
Fine, don't defend him.
Oh, God, it's my job, isn't it?
Yeah.
My lord, the jury, Chloe.
You can't get out of it now. It's okay, yeah?
My lord, the jury, Chloe, Jake's friend Rob.
Yeah.
We, the counsel for the defence, wish to defend Noel Edmonds because... Well, we're the counsel for the defence, and that's kind of what I have to do. Noel Edmonds is one of the country's most loved and largely forgotten entertainers and presenters. To accuse him of inciting terrorism is akin to accusing Jim Bowen of insider training or Bobby Davra of disturbing the peace. I, for one, think it's great to see someone outside the world of science and medicine trying to prevent cancer. Sure, he may be doing it by randomly making up things about what prevents cancer and what's causing mass offence to those who are suffering it along the way. But have you tried to stop cancer? Oh my gosh. I think it's great as well to see someone putting in effort into this cause. Now, what we all need to do is harness that effort and actually do something worthwhile with it. And to accuse him of inciting terrorism is ridiculous. If terrorism had been incited, talk radio and the rest of the media world would be awash with people on the phone who claim to be a terror expert explaining how to remain vigilant and that an attack is imminent and that, you know, that's what they're always doing anyway. The government famously never negotiate with terrorists. And I'm sure that the banker from Deal or No Deal has the exact same policy, and yet he negotiates with Edmonds all the time. If Edmonds was a terrorist, how come all these people on the telly are so confident about opening suspicious packages directly in front of them? Edmunds is not, has not, and we actually can't be certain, but probably not, ever incited terrorism. You see this case? This case, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm resting it.
Okay. Okay.
Mic drop. Curtain close. All blind.
Yeah.
Applause.
I haven't got any applause. I don't see. I can see if I can play in something.
Could you just clap for me?
Turn up the bed a second, Clay. That's the best I can do. I'm sorry.
That just makes me sound drunk.
You've heard the evidence, ladies and gentlemen. Now it's time to vote. It's at Talk Radio on Twitter if you'd like to cast your vote for guilty or not guilty. We will be returning the verdict after the break.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Pick up your phone and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
The Peugeot 308. Powerful profile. Sleek lines. Really? Is this how we're supposed to choose a car? What if we based our decision on what the car is actually like to drive? Not just a quick spin around the block, but a 48-hour test drive. Remember, you buy the image, but you fall in love with the detail. Peugeot 308. Confidence built in. Arrange a 48-hour test drive at Peugeot.co.uk. Participating dealers only. Conditions apply.
Life is full of deadlines. The deadline for that job application. The deadline for your tax return. And now, the Financial Conduct Authority is thinking about imposing a deadline for claiming missold PPI. So time could be running out for you to claim. Let PPI Claimback do most of the work for you. We can check whether you've had PPI. If you haven't, it won't cost you a penny. Text PPI to 80039. That's PPI to 80039.
Euro 2016. Goal-scoring legends, red card villains, and returning champions. Tenbet, premium sports betting. Over 22,000 live events every month. Hundreds of in-play and fast markets. Feel the excitement. Kick off with a first deposit bonus of up to £200. Play at tenbet.co.uk. That's 10bet.co.uk.
5-0 levels of deposit and bonus required. Minimum deposit £15. Please gamble responsibly.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
West Yorkshire M62 eastbound lane out on the exit. Slip Road Junction 29 for the M1. South Yorkshire M1 southbound lane out. Broken down lorry between 33 for Catliff and Junction 32. M6 southbound in Warwickshire. One lane blocked. Broken down vehicle between Junction 2 for the M69 for Coventry and Junction 1. Berkshire, one lane blocked off M4 westbound. An accident and barrier repairs. That's between Junction 6 for Windsor and Junction 7 for the A4. M3 heading to London. Exit Slip Road to the M25 clockwise shut. I'm Nina Dasgupta.
Greetings, Earthlings. We come in peace. We wish to communicate with your leader.
I'm Howard Hughes. Join me this Sunday night from 10 for a trip into the outer limits.
Untwist the lid on Talk Radio's specimen jar of the psychic, the supernatural, and the simply unexplained.
The Unexplained with Howard Hughes. Sunday night from 10, Earth Time on Talk Radio.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Just reading some of the tweets that have come through. Thank you very much indeed for them. It's at Jake Yap or at Talk Radio. Ed says, Noel Edmonds, not guilty, but stick him in the guns tank anyway. Kickass Kate says, this has a touch of the David Icke's about it. Danny Lowe says, what's he like? Simon Canning says, it's a great metaphor to explain mental health stigma to dozy positivists. Okay, that sounds complex. I'm going to have to sit down and think about that one for a while. I just don't have the time. I'm hosting a radio show here. But thank you very much indeed for your contributions. So, we've got Noel Edmonds in the dock. The accusation is he guilty of inciting terrorism? The idea being that he said that negative thoughts can affect people's health. So really, terrorists wouldn't necessarily need bombs anymore. They just need to sort of generate negative thoughts in people, which one could be construed as inciting terrorism. I guess it's time now for the verdict. Here we go. This is very, very exciting. The jury has returned and... Oh, wait, there's 1 minute left and it's 50-50. You can vote now. I'm serious.
Is it 1 really?
1 minute to go and it's 50-50. Literally 50-50. You can cast your vote now at Jake Yap, J-A-K-E-Y-A-P-P, on the Twitter. If you want to have the casting vote now. Oh, hang on. The poll is ending. It's a hung jury.
Oh, my God. That was a shocking...
It's a hung jury. They're an extremely well hung jury. Amazing. Never thought that was going to happen. I just found a really nice article. Because, of course, Noel Edmonds, you know, one of the biggest things that he did was Noel's house party.
Yes.
Did you know that there was a Mr. Blobby theme park?
Yes, I did know this.
Have you seen the photo of it today?
Yes, I have.
Is it not sort of satisfying?
Yes, it is. It had so many complaints when it opened because it was so terrible. Like,
really?
I think one of the rides was a queue. And that was it. You queued up. I'm sure it was.
Are
look
you
it up. I'm
Are you
sure
serious?
It was. And it was because it was it was all in the theme of, you know, taking the Mickey and everything.
Amazing.
So people queued up for this ride that wasn't a ride. That was the ride.
It was in Somerset. It is now completely overgrown. It's very depressing. Mr. Blobby's toilet is just out in the middle of the woods now. and apparently ravers broke in and they raved there and people are sort of saying, oh, how sad, oh, how sad. I feel like, you know, Noel Edmonds, he's one of those people that he had a lot of success very young. He made a ton of money very young. And you get a lot of these people, I have to say, like Cilla Black, who they kind of just, they don't appreciate what a niche slice of luck they had. And so they sort of genuinely believe that they're a bit tremendous and that, you know, because of what they've done, this amazing fortune is, and if anybody else did the same thing, they could have that fortune too. I don't understand. Why don't these people have their own show on BBC One? He got really angry lately with the BBC, didn't he? I think we've got some audio for it because they won't bring back Noel's house party. So he dressed up as a woman online and called himself Miss Priscilla something or something from the BBC. Have a listen to this. It's amazing.
It's jolly good family entertainment. Of the kind with which we no longer wish to be associated. By watching Noel's house party and telling your friends about it, you're reminding them of a bygone age when we at the BBC had an entertainment department. This was closed down when we ran out of ideas of how to entertain the public in a way in which they found entertaining.
Some might say you had two, Noel. what a guy! I mean, it's sort of breathtaking watching someone's brain desiccate in this way live. You know, you get to watch it all happen. It is not since David Icke have we had such an amazing transformation. I think of a celebrity. Would you agree?
I'm just loving that it's been played out on all the social media.
Mm.
I know everybody, but the thing is, what he's done if he isn't having a full mental breakdown is quite clever. Because now everybody wants to talk to him about all the stupid things he's been saying.
That's true.
So he's generating his own publicity. You don't even need a manager anymore. You just need to be a bit mental on social media or say some crazy things or upset someone.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it. You're back in the public eye.
That's true. I mean, he's been trying to get Noel's house party back onto the BBC for years.
It'll never happen.
Like decades. And he's so... I don't understand this anger and indignation about not having his show recommissioned. It's like, we've all been there, Noel. We didn't all make millions of quid.
Mm.
So anyway, I tried to imagine what it would be like if Noel's house party did come back.
Of course you did.
Here it is.
Now on BBC One, because we've officially run out of ideas, at phenomenal expense, it's the return of Lowest Common Denominator TV. Noel's house party.
Thank you very much. Yes, with glittering eyes that suggest I might be a complete nightmare to work with, here I am back on BBC One. It seems there's no way to be finally sacked from the BBC, not even fronting a show that smashes a man on a pavement. And so, who's that at the door? Why, it's Peter Salmon. And what have you got to say, Peter?
Just that, I'm sorry I pulled the plug on...
Sorry? Couldn't hear you.
I'm sorry I pulled the plug on your show.
And what's that in your hands?
It's pie.
Humble pie?
Sorry, humble pie, yeah.
Well, you know where that's going.
Yeah.
Oh, look, everybody. It's everyone's favourite. It's Mr. Back of a Napkin Man. Yes, he looks like a Dockers expectoration, yet he's grossed $52 million in merchandising. How are you, Mr. Back of a Napkin?
Money, money, money.
Yes, money, money, money. If there's one thing me and Mr. Back of a Napkin Man can agree on, it's that money is great. So let's run about the studio and see how many license frees we can set fire to while Jimmy Cricket defibrillates himself in the corner and we gunge Kofi Annan. It's great to be back. You're fired.
Great guy. Great guy. Someone else, I'm hoping we're going to have a similar disaster from Jonathan Ross. Because I don't know if you heard in the Daily Mirror today, the next series of Jonathan Ross's ITV chat show is set to be the star's last. So he could end up doing this too. We could end up with this sort of embittered old millionaires being grumpy because they're not allowed to play on the TV anymore. This could be great. There's a sitcom in this. You know them all getting together and say, oh, what is wrong with all these people?
Starting their own corporation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, they will, won't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the joy of it. They're going to sink all of their money into... I'm sorry. Say that again. What did you say, Emily? Chloe, sorry. I'm sorry. America. No, they won't sink their money into America. They'll say to themselves, online broadcasting. We're going to set up our own... People will come.
We'll give something that nobody else has.
They will blow all of their money on some sort of venture, but like, you know, oh, here we are. Mike Reed did it. The DJ, Mike Reed. Do you remember?
I worked with him.
He set up his own radio station, didn't he? Is it still going? No, it's not still going. Of course it's not. But this is the lovely thing. It's like sort of the fall of Rome. All these people, they were untouchable in their time. Multi-millionaires. No one could say no to them. And they're going to blow all of their money on these sort of... No, people will come because we're still relevant. It's like, you're not. You're not relevant. Just sit back, enjoy your money. No. We're going to sink all the money. We're going to make 10 times the money. A guy told us. And this guy is a genius. Like, this guy knows how to run a YouTube channel like nobody's business. We're going to give him £1 million. And they'll lose all their money.
They're fueled on their ego. Like, they can't just be happy with what they've done and then like sit back and retire. They're so like in their own bubble of ridiculousness.
Yeah, I was so delighted when I discovered that Ted Rogers off of 3-2-1, which like I don't think you'll remember because
I remember 3-2-1.
3-2-1 was a show. It was on every Saturday night for 9 hours, and it felt like it.
Like 3-2-1. Like surely this will be over soon. No.
I mean, it was brilliant. It was a game show and a quiz, and there was singing and dancing, which was dreadful, and people doing something that's sort of like comedy, but not really. It was like Acorn Coffee in the War. It was like, I can see how this is supposed to be comedy, but it isn't. He did the same thing. Like, there he was, Saturday night, prime time, 9 hours. Lost all his money. Sunk all his money into this next venture that he thought was going to be amazing. Lost everything.
Nice how you want everyone to fail.
I don't. As long as you just have some humility. Have some grace. Have some humility. Accept that you get a limited bite at the cherry and then just move on with dignity and shut up. Which is what I'm going to do right now as we get the latest news headlines with Victoria Bourne.
Talk Radio. We now have up until midnight tomorrow to register to vote in the EU referendum. The government has pushed through legislation after the website crashed before the original deadline of midnight last night because of thousands of people trying to sign up. Katie Ghost, who's from the Electoral Reform Society, says there needs to be an investigation into what went wrong.
Why it was that the computer systems weren't able to cope with what must surely have been, okay, a large number of people applying, but it can't have been totally unexpected that we'd see that last-minute surge in demand.
A man with a history of mental health problems is facing years in jail for trying to murder a random stranger at a London tube station. 30-year-old Mahedin Maher wanted to behead Lyle Zimmerman with a rusty knife at Leytonstone last December in an attack inspired by the killers of Fusilier Lee Rigby. The former owner of BHS has been accused of being a Premier League liar by the store's managers, who've been giving evidence to MPs at a hearing into the collapse of the firm. The ex-chief executive has even alleged Dominic Chappelle threatened to kill him in a row over money. A safari park has pleaded guilty to health and safety breaches after a keeper was killed by a tiger in May 2013. 24-year-old Sarah McClay was pounced on in the keeper's corridor of the Tiger House at South Lakes Wild Animal Park in Cumbria. And Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling is urging audience members at last night's theatre debut not to give anything away. The first preview of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child took place at London's Palace Theatre, with fans given badges saying hashtag keep the secret. The play is set 19 years after Rowling's final novel and officially opens on July the 30th. The weather, any showers will soon die out this evening to leave a dry night, feeling mild with some light winds, lows of 11 degrees. Tomorrow will be warm and dry and sunny for most. Showers may develop later, especially in the north. There's more in half an hour.
The Brothers Gould. Tonight from 7 on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
a seamless transition between tea time and twilight with the legendary Brothers Grimm, destined to become the nation's favorite radio family. Tall Tales and Telephone Trouble with the Brothers Gould, featuring Johnny Gould and Ash.
Get caught in two-way family crossfire with me, Johnny Gould, and him, Ash.
You all right, Bubba?
On Talk Radio.
It's a brother load of back chat, bravado and banging entertainment.
Tonight from 7
on Talk Radio, keeping it in the family with the Brothers Gould.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
You're listening to Talk Radio. Of course, it's Jake Yap sitting in for John Holmes. He's back tomorrow, fans. I know. It's brilliant, isn't it? Sam Delaney's here from 4, thumbing you into the evening until the Brothers Gould pick up the pieces at 7 o'clock. I've got to tell you this news. I love this news. You know, I just did that big rant about how celebrities, you know, they get fired off big networks and then they sink all their millions into these stupid pet projects like online broadcasting and lose all their money. And it's sort of funny because it's just their own vanity that's done it. Oh, Noel Edmonds has already... He's already doing that. He's hemorrhaging money. Harry Hardy has tweeted us, thank you so much. He says, Noel has genuinely set up dozens of online radio stations, all for niche markets and interests. I don't want to think about what they could be. Positivityradio.world.
Oh, God.
The ambition! Scale of it.
I'm not going to say anything, because that's probably where I'll work next.
Dare to dream. Yeah, think positive. It could happen. This is a slot that we've been doing throughout the whole run while John Holmes has been away, and it's been really lovely. It's called Lost and Found, where we ask someone to talk about the most remarkable thing that they lost and then the most remarkable thing that they found. And today, I'm sure will be no exception. We're talking to Rob Orton, a very lovely comedian. Hi.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and well done for leaning into the microphone. They get really,
really
cross if
well.
You don't lean into it. They want it like right in your face a slightly threatening way. And I'm delighted to meet you, mainly because we're both doing a preview, aren't we, at some point for Edinburgh. You're doing Edinburgh.
Yeah, a preview of our new Edinburgh shows, isn't it?
Yeah. And we're doing remember it. Where it is?
Yes, I can. It's at the Aces and Eights in Tufnell Park on the 12th of July.
Amazing.
And is it free to get in?
It is free to get in, isn't
it? Wow.
Yeah.
Is it free to get out?
No. No. That's how you make the money. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for coming in.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for asking me.
And should we start by talking about something you lost?
Yeah, well, when you asked me about what's the most remarkable thing that I've lost, I was racking my brains and I got burgled. That isn't... You know,
no, that counts.
When you get burgled, do you lose... I guess
you do. Yeah, it's a loss.
It's a loss, isn't it?
Mm. So what happened? What did they say? Where were you? What was this?
I was in Walthamstow.
Okay, oh well.
And got burgled, but no, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk I want to talk about my
I don't know why you brought it up.
Here we go.
I don't want to talk. Yeah, okay.
I've lost my ability to kill slugs and snails and found myself collecting them in a ventilated glass jar and releasing them in the forest. That's true, and I did that this morning because our garden is getting absolutely just demolished by slugs and snails at the moment. And, you know, I started off and I was kind of killing the slugs and the snails, as many people do.
How are you killing them?
Just standing on them.
Machine gun. Standing on them?
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes in my slippers.
Oh,
now,
dear.
I'm sure some of the listeners can relate to, you know, when you go out and you're like, you've got your slippers on. Do you put your shoes... anyway, I don't want the RSPCA to phone in, so what I've started doing...
I don't think slugs is high up their priority list, I've got to tell you.
Really?
Yeah. Although, I mean, there's all this stuff about you have to be careful with the slugs because the pellets, they poison the birds.
Oh, so yeah, man, I'm well against slug pellets, yeah, but do you know, it's really enjoyable just collecting them all, putting them in a jar and then releasing them in a forest.
Mm. That's adorable. That's like Free Willy. But done in slugs, right?
Yeah, I don't know about that. But
do you never get a bit sort of attached?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, I've never been attached.
So
to
why?
A
what?
Snail, no.
I mean, is this a what triggered? What was the last slug whose weird little stalky eyes you looked at and thought, I can't do this anymore? Right, what was it about that slug then?
Well, I was just looking at it and just being like, look, they're just like us, trying to get through life, aren't they?
That's true.
And you're like, well, I don't know what reality is like for them. No one does. I imagine it's pretty tough, just like being a human is. And I was like, well, I don't want to. I think, not to get too deep, but killing something is killing something, no matter how small it is. Anyway,
are you a vegetarian?
No, I'm not. Actually,
are you a vegan?
No, but I've bought.
Well, then
some...
what? You got? Hang on a minute.
What?
So you got no? So you got issues with the slugs?
Yeah, yeah.
But the pigs, the cows, the sheep, the chickens. Yeah, yeah. Kill them all. Lay waste to them.
Well, I said today that
join up your thinking, Rob.
I was going to bring some poems in to read out.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've got one about food.
Oh, well, perfect.
Can I read it out?
Of course you can.
Because when I've been getting a bit older and I've been thinking about when I go to like christenings or something like that, I always think about, oh, I wonder what the food's going to be like, you know. And I've been thinking if there is a heaven and I get to go there, I wonder what the food's going to be like, right? You'd have thought it'd be quite nice, right?
Yeah.
And I've been thinking about that, and this is called Heaven Food. What's the food like in heaven? If all well-behaved living things that die go to heaven, can there be meat up there? Do people imagine eating nice bits of meat in heaven? You know, the bits with a tiny bit of burnt on the cliff face of fat, sitting at a solid square-legged without wobble table, eating a steak with a smooth, heavy, shining fork and a deep, dark brown wooden-handled steak knife. Has the cow that the steak came from died and gone to heaven? Only to be killed again. Do they kill dead cows up there so we can eat meat and really be in total heaven? What about the sandwiches? Are there crumbs in heaven? Can you get Lurpak? Is it complimentary? Do you still have to peel oranges? Do apples have cores or are they all apple? Can you eat right through an apple from one side to the other? Can you eat an apple until it is gone? Where do apples go when they die? Do baked beans come in tins or do they float into your open mouth in a kind of horizontal unfastened necklace line of warm non-drip perfectly cooked baked beans? Where do I go to get my food when I arrive? I will probably need to do a big shop. Or will all my cupboards be full? Will I even have cupboards? And if I do, who will have put them up for me? Does God put the cupboards up in heaven? If he does, is he good at it? All the chickens will be running around laughing and kissing instead of lying dead and refrigerated in the supermarkets. Do people kill dead chickens in heaven? Maybe the chickens kill themselves for us and then roll around in flour and egg and milk and then breadcrumbs and then repeat the process depending on how crispy they want to make themselves for us. Maybe the chickens get to go up to the next level of heaven, the heaven of heaven. The penthouse suite of heaven. If you have a fly in your kitchen in heaven and you want to get rid of it, what do? You have both been accepted into the kingdom of heaven. The end.
There's it. No, that's, man, that's profound. That's reminds me of John Donne. It's very metaphysical. Okay. We're talking to Rob Orton, a comedian and poet, it transpires. We'll be finding out more of what's going on inside his unique mind after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
We are Talk.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
Is your chili con carne more like chili con carnage? Your fondue more of a fondant? Then you really need to listen to the recipe of the day on Talk Radio with Encona. This Saturday morning from 8, join Penny Smith and top chef Barry Vera as they demonstrate a fresh and flavoursome new recipe guaranteed to give you kitchen kudos. Plus, answer a cookery question at talkradio.co.uk/competitions to win a hamper of Encona goodies. The recipe of the day on Talk Radio in association with Encona. Banish the bland.
Join Sky with any TV bundle from £20 a month and get a free 32-inch LG TV. A free TV? Incredible! Did I say that out loud? Catch Sky Atlantic's must-see shows, including Billions, and get a free TV when you join Sky from £20 a month. Hurry, offer ends Thursday. Search Sky Bundles. Sky, believe in better.
Direct debit subject to status. Upfront £10 standard setup. Minimum contract and further terms apply.
Blue Circle Master Creek 25 kilograms, just £3.94 a bag. Always everyday low prices at Trade Point. Excludes VAT at 20%. Trade on.
It's a beautiful thing when little things come together.
Life is in the details. The new Volvo V40R design with adaptive digital display, Thor hammer headlights and 17-inch diamond cut alloys. Now all this and more from just £259 a month, including maintenance, with Volvo car leasing with an initial rental of £259.
4-year contract hire agreement offer ends June 30th, subject to status. Mileage and return conditions apply. Optional maintenance covers routine servicing, tyres, replacement parts and repairs due to fair wear and tear. Visit volvocars.co.uk for more details.
Book a test drive today at your nearest Volvo showroom.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
West Yorkshire M62 eastbound lane out on the exit slip road, junction 29 for the M1. South Yorkshire M1 southbound lane out, broken down lorry between 33 for Catliff and junction 32. M6 southbound in Warwickshire, one lane blocked. Broken down vehicle between junction 2 for the M69 for Coventry and junction 1. Berkshire, one lane blocked off M4 westbound. An accident and barrier repairs, that's between junction 6 for Windsor and junction 7 for the A4. M3 heading to London, exit slip road to the M25 clockwise shut. I'm Nina Dasgupta.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. Saturday Breakfast with Penny Smith.
On Talk Radio.
I'm Penny Smith. Join me every Saturday morning from 8 on Talk Radio for the perfect weekend breakfast. I'm going to be reviewing the papers, taking a look at all the best new film, book and theatre releases, and I'm going to be chatting to a whole host of celebrity guests live in the studio.
Saturday Breakfast with Penny Smith. Saturday morning from 8.
On Talk Radio, we'll get you talking.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Just about a quarter of an hour until Sam Delaney picks up with Drive Time here on Talk Radio. It's Jake Yap in for John Holmes. He's back tomorrow, fans. But in the meantime, we're talking about Lost and Found with Rob Orton, who, well, he's an award-winning comedian. We can say that, right?
Yeah.
You look slightly disbelieving. Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose so.
I know, everyone's got an award if you look hard enough.
I got a swimming badge. But you won Best Joke of the Edinburgh Fringe in 2013, right?
That's right, yeah.
You might as well do the joke.
The joke was, I heard a rumour Cadbury's are releasing an Oriental chocolate bar. Could be a Chinese whisper.
There you go. That's a lovely joke. I didn't laugh because I already read it, you see. So please don't think that I don't... the nation is laughing.
No, well...
It's not my place to laugh.
When I was doing it in gigs, it was getting a mixed response.
Was it?
Yeah. Half groaning and half...
Yeah.
Silence.
You're an upbeat guy. Well, and what was it like, as an experience, what was it like winning that award?
It was very interesting. I think it's a brilliant thing that it exists... Mm. And I love the Dave channel. And I just think that...
So do I, because I do all their voiceovers.
It's, do you?
Yeah, I do.
It's just very... It's a strange thing to win that, because I hadn't had any exposure at all. And I was doing this show that was all about the sky. It was kind of a half poetry, half comedy called The Sky Show. And I was really proud of it. And in the kind of 10-minute slots that I was doing around and about, I just had this joke that I was saying. And one day, one of the judges was in there. And
right.
I think he must have thought it was funny. And then I got a phone call and they said, oh, your joke has been voted the funniest joke of the Fringe by the people at Dave. And I was like, what joke? And they said, I was like, the Chinese whisper joke. I was like, oh. Really? And
that, they, of like, all the stuff I've done?
Yeah. So this is kind of, I haven't had much experience on radio, but that day I was in the studio in Edinburgh from about 6:30 in the morning. Wow. And just doing loads. And the main one that I remember...
So this was like lots and lots of radio stations and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Well, now on radio...
Yeah, I remember I spoke to one in Ireland, and they thought that I'd gone and I was still on there, and I... The guy was like, well, that was difficult. When I was on.
And, soul crushing.
But I really remember one, and that was speaking to Vanessa Feltz. And they said, OK, this is a big one. We're going to speak to Vanessa Feltz now. And I said, OK. And Vanessa Feltz came on and she was like, tell me your joke. So I said, I heard a rumour Cadbury's releasing an Oriental chocolate bar. It could be a Chinese whisper. And she said... tell me another joke. And I was like,
hang on a minute, that's the best one in the Fringe.
But then she was like, tell me another joke. And I was like, well, I don't really have jokes. So I said, all right, this is called Breakfast. And I said, I knew the outside world had ended when I poured milk on my Rice Krispies and they made no sound. and the line went dead.
No.
Yeah, yeah. But then she came back on and said, "That's just sad." So I've got that on my Edinburgh flyers now. The quote from Vanessa Thorpe. That's just sad. Yeah.
That's really awesome. My agent said to me this week. She said, "Look, you know, there's like best of the fringe, your best joke of the fringe stuff, because I'm doing a show in Edinburgh this summer." She's like, "Can you email me?" Like your best jokes from your show, you know, and I'll send them forward, you know, maybe we can get you on. And I went through like the script of my Edinburgh show.
Yeah.
It's like 1.5 jokes like that. I mean, it's literally, there aren't any jokes. It's not because it's not like you, I mean, some people like Tim Vine, you know, he's brilliant. Like all Absolutely, he does is tell like 800 jokes in a show and it's amazing and it's very funny and it gets that sort of cumulative momentum thing where, you know, you laugh a bit and you're still laughing when the next laugh comes and it sort of avalanches and it's brilliant. I can't do that.
I've got one.
Have you?
Yeah, that's right. About my new show's about sleep. It's called The Sleep Show and it's just an hour about sleeping, really. And the joke is, I'm from Yorkshire, and people from Yorkshire have a reputation for being tight, right?
Okay, yeah.
And I never used to think I was tight until recently when I had a dream and I was in the pub with all my friends, and when it came to my round, I woke up.
Dude, you're going to take it twice, man. I'm serious. You're going to win again. I guarantee you. So your show is a mix of poetry and sort of.
Yeah, I've never ever referred to myself as a poet or anything like that. I think I just started writing things down into my laptop and printing them out and reading them. Hmm. And for me to say that is a poem is kind of a bit presumptuous, really.
It's a piece.
I know you've got to put stuff into boxes, but I don't, you know, it's like if you start saying you're a poet, then it's like, oh, come on.
Well, that's when people sort of start smiling and backing away. It's sort of, you know, it is like someone telling you about their dream or something.
I think it's all right. It's all right to say you're a poet. It's just that I'd like to think of a writer and performer of what I write and let people make their own minds up what it is, you know, whether they think it's rubbish or what.
What's quite nice is that, presumably, you know, because, all right, you know, whether you call it a poem or not, it's a set piece.
Yeah.
You're presumably reading it aloud from a book or a piece of paper or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
in a
yeah,
sort
yeah.
of proper. So you don't have to learn it.
Well, some of them.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
I should have thought of that.
The last one I did was all about water, called The Water Show, and I learnt that. But yeah, I've got a couple of things. Shall I read another one?
Yeah.
How are we doing?
Yeah, we've finally got like 8 minutes.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I've been thinking if I ever have a little boy, what I'm going to call him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is about that. It's called Father and Son. If I have a son, his name will be Dad. After my dad. And his dad. And his dad. And his dad. And his dad. At the hospital, I will introduce Dad to my mum. Mum, this is Dad, your grandson. Don't cry, Dad. It's Mum, your grandma. On Christmas Eve, I'll say to him, you better be getting to bed soon, Dad, or Father Christmas won't come. And he will be confused, but not as confused as me. As he grows up, other children will call him by his name, and my son will become the father figure of the playground. Pass me the ball, Dad. Hey, Dad. My mum said you can come round to my house for tea tonight, Dad. At morning registration, his teacher will call him by his name in a voice of complete and utter tenderness. Dad.
Ah, oh, you see, that is poetry. It's very funny, but it is art as well. That's proper art. That's proper grown up art. That.
Well, I love art like that. That's my main thing. I love painting and drawing and everything like that. Yeah,
it's nice not to pin yourself down to one discipline. Having said that, so it seems like every show that you've done. Mm. How many have you done now? How many Edinburgh shows?
It's going to be my fifth.
Right,
wow. Like hour one.
Yeah.
So I did my first one was in 2012 called The Yellow Show. About yellow, and then the second one was about sky, and then faces, and then water,
yeah,
and then This one's going to be about sleeping. And I just want to talk... The reason why I want to do shows about subjects like that is, like, especially sleep, is, like, I'm absolutely amazed how we're all going to go to sleep, you know, wake up and go to sleep, yet we walk around like we've got absolutely nothing in common, you know?
Mm.
And I just want to try to tap into that. And there's a lot of people trying to make people feel different from each other. And
dude,
I think we're, you know, we're all the same.
I'm thrilled that you've said that, because my show is basically all about that. It's all about us finding commonality instead of our own individuality.
Yeah.
And how we're always being sort of told by us, boy, am I selling my show. But the point is, you know, big commerce, corporations.
Yeah.
They sell you their products, which are mass-produced, by saying, here's a product as unique as you are.
Hmm.
And we sort of, we fall for it. And we think, yes, I am unique. I should have that because I'm unique.
Yeah.
Without realising that they're not unique. This is a mass-produced product. But actually, that's about right. It is as unique as you are, because you're not that unique.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a horrible way. I just mean we are all basically the same.
Yeah.
And so in the show, I learned that... I thought to myself, there's about 8 different types of people in the world. You know, you can sort of go through them. And I would describe myself as like hippie, needy, vegan, exhibitionist. You know, that's where I am on this kind of axis.
Yeah.
But I discovered that there's not even 8. There's 4 different kinds of people in the world. And this is according to marketeers.
Wow.
So you've got the analytical. I'm trying to do this from memory. You've got the analytical.
Yeah.
And so you can imagine marketeers, you know, say you're selling a car, they're going to be sort of saying, well, I wonder, you know, how comfortable the seats are and what's the gauge on the tyres and blah, blah, blah. Then they're just sort of just annoyingly detail-oriented.
Yeah.
Then you've got the driver who's like, that's the car for me. They're basically like Clarkson, I won't say what he is, not on the radio. Then you've got the amiable.
Yeah.
And that's someone who says, no, I don't know, whatever car, oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
And they're easy. And then you've got the expressive, which is basically exhibitionist / needy / which is what I am. So yeah. I'm one of those. Mm. But then what I discovered, this isn't even a new thing.
Yeah.
This goes back, Hippocrates started this. He said that there was the phlegmatic, the sanguine, the choleric, and the Morrissey, the melancholic. And and this is like a really old theory. And the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are based on those 4.
Is that right?
Yeah. Whoa. See, I've always maintained there's a lot in that cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot
in
that cartoon. But yeah, so I think that when we do our doubleheader preview, it should dovetail very nicely.
Yeah. No, definitely. I'm looking forward to it.
Yours is going to be better, though.
That's why
you're headlining. He's headlining, everybody.
No, you asked if you could go on first.
I'm the warmer-upper. Did I?
Yeah.
Oh.
Needy. Behind the curtain.
Needy. Have we got time? We've got time for one more. That one, if you got a poem.
Okay.
By the way, I should just tell you that Sam Delaney's here in 5 minutes' time, and he's going to be discussing the select committee who convened today to discuss the BHS takeover stuff. It's pretty amazing what's been going on today. I don't know if you've been following it. If you haven't, it doesn't matter, because Sam Delaney's here in 4 short minutes. But yes, give us one parting thought.
Okay. Well, I really like the colour yellow, and I asked the painter and decorator...
Oh, look, he's here now. I'm so sorry. Give us the colour yellow, because honestly, Sam, I'm, you know, you leave it... Yeah, I was... Yeah, okay, go on. The colour yellow.
I really like the colour yellow, and I once asked the painter and decorator company to paint a room of my house, and they painted it the wrong colour, and this is called maroon. The painters have painted my room...
Maroon.
That's right.
Okay.
The painters have painted my room maroon. My room... My room, my room's maroon. I've got a maroon room. I'm marooned in a room of maroon. The walls of my room are maroon. The floor of my room is maroon. The curtains of my room are maroon. It's so maroon, it's ruined my room. Give me back my room. Paint up the maroon. I look up to the 12 of my SpongeBob SquarePants clock and can see that where the painters have painted, they've spilt quite a big dollop of maroon paint over the 12 of my clock. The painters have painted my...
Room?
No.
Oh, clock. Your clock.
What happens at 12?
Noon!
That's right! My noon!
I'm sorry,
My noon's maroon. We'll leave it there. Thanks very much.
Hey. Rob Orton, look at what are you on Twitter or anything like that, or do you not do any of that?
I am on Twitter, yeah.
All right. What's your thing?
At Robert Orton, AU2N, but don't get in touch if you want to give me abuse.
Oh,
no. No, please do. Please do.
And you're where are you playing in Edinburgh?
A poet.
I'm on at the Banshee Labyrinth at 4 o'clock every day, and it's free.
Oh, brilliant. There you go. Thanks if it's so raining, you know where to go now. Sam, you're up next. What have you got?
Another fat cat businessman going berserk in front of a select committee.
Oh,
apparently
really?
Threatened. The bloke who bought BHS threatened to... said he claimed to have a gun, have been in the SAS, and threatened to kill his chief executive.
Are you serious?
Which is much like... it's that sort of liar I used to tell at primary school on a daily basis.
Yeah, yeah.
He followed it up by claiming he'd been to America 3 times on Concorde with his dad. No, not really. I mean, he might as well have done. Do you
That's
know what I mean?
Amazing.
Like, I was in the SAS, mate. I've got a gun. I'll kill you. Yeah, this is what it was. This was what was alleged in the select committee today about the guy who bought BHS off of Sir Philip Green, and that was after all that stuff yesterday.
Wow.
With Mike Ashley in front of a select committee about him running a gulag in Derbyshire, and suddenly you realise this country is overrun by renegade fat cats,
lunatics
who are like threatening people, making staff have babies in the toilet. It's insane. So we'll be looking into that.
Wow, amazing. We look forward to it. Sam Delaney up next. That's it from me. John Holmes is back tomorrow. In the meantime, thanks to Chloe, Emily, Cass and Cornelius. Thanks particularly Cass and Cornelius, who've been so lovely all week while I've been covering for John. Take care, have fun, and see you on Sunday from 8.
Talk Radio. Talk and entertainment across the nation.
Talk Radio.
Give it some lip.